This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Sarah Love and Mice Diggy on FUBAR Radio.
Blue stamp.
Break, we're gonna get them on this one.
Let's get them low.
I'm 100 from the hood point of view.
Yeah.
West, y'all. Hood nigga, stay true. West. My jeans still sag. The color still blue. Hood shit, nigga, spit. Yeah, only a few. That's what it do, low. I don't flip. Gang shit for the grip. Compton on trip. And it's so necessary, I don't follow the speech. My motto be the hollow point slug for each. Fuck the radio, ban me. They can't stand me. Never winning the Grammy. Still gon' jam E. Bitch, give a fuck about swag. I'm a real D-boy, check the duffel bag. Compton till I die, or somebody kill. The hood got me back like that for real.
That for real.
Nigga, chill, got it back on lock. That real deal, heavyweight, flood the block.
Chill.
You reppin' the hood, eh?
Got that.
You smokin' that good, eh?
Got that.
You reppin' the West, eh?
Got that. Leave it to your niggas to bring streets back and up.
You reppin' the hood, eh?
Got that.
You smoking that good, eh?
Got that.
You reppin' the West, eh?
Got that.
Chill.
Hold up.
History of violence, move silence. Content making bang is your daily guidance. Nigga, I be the truth. Every line is mine. I spit in the booth. Trying to make that shit that make you feel good. Never commercial, ain't real hood. Who would? Nobody but your nigga. Rep the ghetto just like he should.
Chill.
Ain't never changed programs. Dance records, motherfuckers, slow jams. For the bitches that smoke and love real G's. Slappy ass here. Niggas with tats like these.
Yeah.
Please believe. Yes, indeed. Ain't keep it street till our minds are free.
Yes.
Shit, give them what they need. Real deal. Why the suckers mislead?
You reppin' the hood, eh?
Got that.
You smoking that good, eh?
Got that.
You reppin' the West, eh?
Got that.
Leave it to your nigga to bring the streets back and up.
You reppin' the hood, eh?
Got that.
You smoking that good, eh?
Got that.
You reppin' the West, eh?
Got that.
Jeez, hood shit with the streets start yelling. And West Coast dope, motherfuckers keep selling. Anybody telling, keep spreading word. Authentic to the ear, so pure you heard. Everything is bomb. When the real gon' drop, so these niggas gon' cop. Stop in the name of the streets. These niggas tryna serve y'all bacon soda beats. Tryna eat all top when they shit don't pop. In the land of the law, scream hell is hot. One shot make me kill niggas chance. Indeed, take a chance, be the circumstance. Ain't got the flavor of the year. Gangsta brown here with my nigga premiere. Stand clear for the weapons test. Enemy to your hood, so they make an arrest. And yes,
you reppin' the hood,
and yes,
eh?
I got that.
You smoking that good,
and yes,
eh?
I got that.
You reppin' the West,
yeah,
eh?
I got that.
I bring it back and up.
You reppin' the hood, eh?
I got that.
You smoking that good, eh?
I got that.
You reppin' the West, eh?
Blue stamp official.
Get around, motherfuckers.
Chill.
Frank Sinatra on the beat.
Y'all wanna hear this shit right here? Real Compton, authentic.
Leave it to your nigga to bring it back.
More than your average or more than your ordinary.
Got that.
Compton official. Most wanted,
got
nigga.
Got that.
Cheers.
Hey yo, it's Rich Manuva, bigging up the Sarah Love and Mice Diggy on FUBAR Radio. Wicked every time as usual, you know how it goes. Splendid.
That was a nice little
splendid.
Background there for the Roots Maneuver.
Yeah.
I still got to work on the, doing the impressions properly because I don't think I sound like him yet. But, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you ain't tuned to the FUBAR Radio.
Maybe that's a future feature for the show is we do our best impressions. Of hip-hop artists. And
what,
see
for the whole
can,
show?
I can do...
And then they've got to guess who it is.
Yeah, I can do Flavor Flav!
Okay,
but
say,
I'm giving it away with his name there, aren't I?
I was going to say...
Who
say,
else? Throw another challenge at me and let me see if I can do it.
Okay, do... Pharoah Munch.
I'm actually pretty good at the Pharoah Munch, you know.
Yeah, well.
We need to hear
it's
it first.
People's Pharoah Munch, you know what it is. Queens, New York. Right now, you're listening to the hip-hop show with Sarah Love and Mice Diggy on FUBAR Radio.
Man.
One.
Sarah, that was really good.
That was all right, wasn't it?
Gee, how the hell did you?
That weren't bad. Right, I'm quite good at Killer Keller too.
What, you can beat? Nah, shut up, you can beatbox.
That's my side hobby.
Go on, go on. Let
my
me
side
hear
hobby
it.
Is
let
me
Killer Keller.
Sarah Love and my Stiggy.
What?
Fubar Radio.
Light him up.
Jesus.
For real.
Anyway,
like that.
I'm sure you mother lovers know who you're locked into right about now. That's right, it's the hip hop show. It's Monday's little piece of crack you can put in your pipe and get high with all of us mother lovers.
Uh-huh. But and you've been all, tuned into our friend Ian.
Of course, Mr. Ian Boldsworth. Mr. You see how I put the Mr. in the beginning? Absolute respect. We don't care how tall you are, how short you are. We respect all level, all heights of people, yeah?
We, no matter no height discrimination.
Yeah, you, it doesn't matter if you still wear baby shoes, you know, toddlers, trainers. We have respect for each and every one of our fellow presenters. I was about to say DJs, but I don't
colleagues?
Know if he's actually a DJ.
Work colleagues?
Yeah, work colleagues, that's it.
Yeah.
Fiendish fool, I forgot. And if you want to hear more from Mr. Boldsworth
or any of the FUBAR shows, you can hit up the website. Definitely listen back to our show last week right here on FUBAR, because we were joined by Scorsese in Knots and Jay Live all the way in the States, speaking to us direct from Atlanta.
Yeah.
And they both have two dope projects happening at the moment. So hit up FUBARradio.com/shows/hip-hop. And today, you're in for more treats. Super dope
we
treats.
We got some legendary shit going on today, boy. I don't even need to brag about this one right here. I'll tell you that.
I'm like super excited. It's like a dream come true that I never had thought would ever come true. But we are going to be joined in the studio by the one and only London Posse.
Yep.
Yes, you heard correct. London Posse. Rodney P and Bionic are going to be with us here at FUBAR Radio. Plus, we're going to be talking to Akala.
Yep.
He has a brand new book out, but you're going to get all the facts on that later on in the show. Of course, Mysac Hayes is going to be passing through to investigate all those burning issues in life, and some crazy talent on today's open mic too. And got some exclusive music for you before we get into our first big up, something brand new. This is the first ever play, courtesy of High Focus Records. Something fresh from, well, before I play that, sorry, I meant to say the first track of the show was MC8 featuring DJ Premier. Got That is the name of the track. Compton's Most Wanted Legend. It's produced by Brent Sinatra, and the album is Which Way Is West. It's out now, and it's executive produced by Premier as well.
Oh, so wait there a sec. This is, I'm confused here. So the Compton's Most Wanted Legend, produced by Brent Sinatra.
Yeah.
Featuring DJ Premier on an album called Which Way Is West, which is executive produced by Primo.
Yeah.
So Primo's featuring on it, but he didn't produce that track.
No, but he was going to, he did originally plan to put scratches, like, you know, his
cuts,
signature cuts on the chorus, but then he's decided, no, I'm just going to flex with the vocals.
Right.
I like Premier on the hook when he does these kind of hooks.
Yeah, yeah, he's got a voice, man. He's got a very distinctive voice.
Can you do a Primo impression?
Yeah, yeah, what's going on? It's your boy DJ Premier, you know what I'm saying, from the legendary Gangstar Foundation. Giving a shout out to my homegirl, DJ Sarah Love. I'm your boy, my sticky.
Yeah, that's what would probably happen.
That was
first
a very
of all.
Chilled out DJ Premier. Because normally he's a bit more up in your face.
I got 2 hours on the radio. I'm not trying to DJ Premier my voice
it's
right now.
Need to warm up to that. Definitely he warmed up to it for that hook. Yeah, so brand new MC8. But now I want to play you an exclusive fresh from Verb T and Pitch 92. This is hip hop. It's FUBAR Radio.
Yeah. Good evening. Yo, at your right blade, tumbling out from moving vehicles. The doctor ain't in, they said no one can see to you. So I just shut the door to leave the room and creep into the darkness. It just skips a couple of beats, I don't know where my heart is. It's breaking out the harness, struck with a bolt and I emerge from the calmness. Hypnotism when I drift right with them, did you know? I had this tripped out vision in the cold. Now I'm giving them the shivers. Listen close, feels like you're drifting in the river. Where's T at? I missed him in the mirror. It feels like I became somebody else and nothing can help. I don't feel mad, still I do feel under a spell. Are you functioning well? Shit, I'm rugged as hell. Still I always got something to tell. So listen close while you puff and excel. Are you struggling?
Are you getting there? Is it to your health or is it to your detriment? Are you hustling? Can you keep a level head? Never rest, kinda rough, how the pressure gets. Are you struggling? Are you getting there? Is it to your health or is it to your detriment? Are you hustling? Can you keep a level head? Never rest, kinda rough, how the pressure gets. Overdose your mind and over time refine what you learn. Hoping you will find resolution or juice this place up and burn it to the ground. This beginning of the ending if we cannot turn it round. The stress feeling fuck from it, reaper creeping up on them. Deeper feelings up on the plate for your mind to digest. My eyes and my flesh are being stained with the illness. Like nicotine to filters walking on kilter. People telling you you need to play the game to make it. Running from the day, passion might fade away. Shit, in the past many days were taken, days and shaken, emotion was not stirred. It was numbed and it got worse. But you only really need to find the words to define your worth. Life preserved in the knowledge for the future to build on. I wonder where we're headed though at times, man, it feels. Are you struggling? Are you getting it? Is it to your health or is it to your detriment? Are you hustling? Can you keep a level head? Never rest, kinda rough, how the pressure gets. Are you struggling? Are you getting it? Is it to your health or is it to your detriment? Are you hustling? Can you keep a level head? Never rest, kinda rough, how the pressure gets.
Yo, right now you're listening, this is bigger than a hip-hop show, man. You're listening to My Stiggy and Sarah Love on Fubar Radio. I'm Michael Parkinson. I'm always moaning and dealing with my kids, but you know what? You need to respect them because they play my shit.
Is it his kids do or we
I
do?
Know. I think, well, both. I must investigate
this next weekend.
Yes. What are the, yeah, I'll put that to the audience. My brain will kick in to gear at some point during the show today, but that last cut... Lovely. Brand new Verb T and Pitch 92. It's a joint project. That track is called I Arrived Late and it's a brand new single out today on High Focus. And Pitch, he's from the former, he's a former Mouse Outfit producer. Verbs. Well, that's how they described it to me at High Focus. So
I didn't know that.
Maybe we can investigate that as well. And yeah. Verbs, of course, like Four Owls. Like his catalog's getting kind of crazy now, Verbs. Busy dude. And that album, the album that's going to be from is called Good Evening, with a release date on the way too. This is myself, Sarah Love.
And myself, Mice Diggy, aka Digman Freud, aka the only one that is awake on a Monday, because that's what I do. I stay awake, mother lovers. Do you know what? I woke up mad early this morning. I don't even know why. I think it's because I actually got 8 hours sleep.
Oh, wow.
For once, yeah. But I woke up mad early and then I tried to catch up on, you know, the fights that were on over the weekend. And then I did a workout. Then after that, that's when I felt like shit. I could go to bed now. I could sleep, but I couldn't because I had to come in here, baby.
What, you did a workout today? Sorry.
Yeah, this morning. And that's when I felt like, right. I think I woke up too early. You know when you make that mistake?
Yeah, and you've been partying hard all weekend.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you could call it that. It is works, DJ Sarah Love. You know, you must consume a certain amount of alcohol and blaze a certain amount of jugglings, you know what I mean, before you can get to bed after a show. This is all part of the work, though. People don't realize. They see you with like a beer in one hand and half a pint of Jack Daniels in the other hand, and they think you're just a waste man. Now they think that you're, oh man, look at him, he just gets wasted. But no, I've just been on stage for like an hour and a half. It takes 2 hours for me to come down, 4 hours if I don't drink anything. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, we've got to balance this out. This is all part of the work, DJ Sarah Love. This is why we have riders.
Yes.
To help us, to aid us with our work.
I saw someone tweeting, you know, shout out to anybody who manages to stay healthy on the road. But it is possible if you're organised, you know.
Organised.
Yeah.
I organise all the time, bruv. Yeah. I exercise. Staying healthy on the road is very hard if you can't be bothered to look for the right things. Do you get what I'm saying? Like a lot of people just... Oh, I'll just go to McDonald's, innit?
Jesus Christ.
And it's like, right, if you're going to do that to yourself, then no wonder you're always getting ill or, you know what I mean? No wonder there's all kind of, especially on the road, because it's hard to get decent stuff to eat. But
Just the thought, of, just the word McDonald's makes me want to vomit. I couldn't even go anywhere. I'd rather cross the road than have to walk past the McD's. So, yeah, definitely not surviving on that. On the, I would.
Yeah, I know. I'd rather break a chicken's neck than go in McD's.
Yeah.
Order an apple pie. Fuck, that's it, man.
Yes. But it's me and Mice taking care of you till six today with another jam-packed show. But we like to set off every show with the goodness, you know.
Yes.
And just send some shout-outs and highlight people who are doing some good things out there.
Positivity.
Mice is doing his own.
Yeah, you see the little vibrato as well. I've been working on that over the weekend.
But you know, and there are so many but there are so many people doing cool things out there, and it's sort of, a lot of this ends up flying under the radar.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's important that we have this section of the show where we shout out people doing good things. And first
what's
of all,
the section called?
The section, of course, you should know, regular listeners, it's time for
Big Up, Big Up.
Yep.
And first of all, we got a shout out, Dr. Dre.
Oh no, what did he do this time, DJ Sarah Love? Don't tell me he's bought, he's become a billionaire for real. This is real now. This is.
Oh, it's not just, allegedly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe he is splashing this kind of cash around because he just donated $10 million to the Compton Unified School District to help develop a performing arts center for one of the high schools in his area.
Wow. And the $10 million.
$10 million, yeah. And the center is like part of, is part of the new Compton High School and will include creative resources as well as 1,200 seat theater, and it's expected to like all be finished by 2020. And Dre himself, he said in a statement, "My goal is to provide kids with the kind of tools and learning they deserve. The Performing Arts Center will be a place for young people to be creative in a way that will help further their education and positively define their future." Because I'm all up for like equality and access to education, and if we gave an equal access to quality education to everyone in this country, that's what's going to support this economy and the country in the future, you know, not only having it being privileged few who get to go to Oxford and Cambridge and things like that. So I think, you know, we need to see more of this in deprived areas. The enrollment they're anticipating is going to be like 2,500 students, and he wants to, he's going to play like a role in raising more funds to complete the project as well, where I was kind of like, okay, so you're starting it, but you're not completing it. But no, still, it's a good thing. And then vice chairman.
You know, at least he's starting it. He's not bragging about buying a painting for $1 million and next year it costs it worth $2 million. And oh, guess who I'm going to give the $8 million to, or give the painting to, or whatever.
It's sickening,
yeah,
really.
You know what I mean? So at least he's doing something for kid, you know, people that he doesn't know who's going to be going to this school. It's not just about me and my billionaire wife and my family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't want to get too deep into that.
No, but it's true. But even talking like that, you know, everyone wants to speak about politicians, and you've got people like, you know, criticism people have levelled at Theresa May, where you have no idea of what real life is like for a normal person in Tottenham.
Exactly.
In the ends or whatever. And so it's how can you possibly reflect or connect with us? And, you know, what's the difference between that and bragging about how rich you are? You know, look at what's going on in Yemen today. Look at, well, there's an ongoing war in Yemen, which is I mean, right now it's been going on for years all of our shady involvement with the British government supplying arms to Saudi Arabia, who are dropping bombs in Yemen, you know, and you want to tell us how flash your life is. It's kind of gross. So it is lovely to see somebody giving back and making that investment to the community. I mean, I guess you can give the argument that Jay-Z, he's got with his wealth that he'll amass, he can create some kind of legacy that will.
It would be beautiful to see that, you know what I mean, but I can't really get too excited about all this like money worshipping talk. And do you know what I mean? And then when it is anything, it just sounds like all you care about is your kinfolk, like, you know, the immediate family. When, like you said, there's all this shit going on in the world. And look what Dre's done to prove, like, yo, okay, if whether I'm a billionaire or not, look, this is what I'm going to do to help my people. Yes. Not just me and, you know, mine type thing. So.
Mm-hmm. And the vice chairman of Compton Unified School District Board of Education said, Dr. Dre has stepped up and partnered with the school district to make this vision a reality.
Wow.
A true act of giving back to the community in a way that will directly impact the ever-resilient efforts of our students to rise up and succeed.
Nice.
You know, and it's true. And maybe this school is going to be around way longer than Dr. Dre is in this physical form in on this earth, you know, and so that's a wonderful thing as well.
Yeah.
And he's not new to the to philanthropy, Dr. Dre. He's like, in 2013, he partnered with Jimmy Iovine, and collectively they donated $70 million to the University of Southern Carolina, and they created the Andre Young Academy of Arts, Technology, and Business of Innovation. I think it really is all about investing in our kids' future, you know, and that starts by empowering people with education. But secondly, another really cool thing happened this last week. Gotta send a
big up,
Eric B and Rakim reunion.
30 years. I was like, what?
Yeah, it sounded really fun. Like, that's a show I wish I saw. I've seen Rakim once by surprise. I was taken to his in New York. Yeah, I saw him in live once, and I was just like,
yeah, even my mum fancies Rakim, and I ain't even gonna mention to her that he was 30 years.
But he's back on the road.
Why don't you rap like? He's just trying to tell me I should be rapping like him. Like, I was like,
give me
up, man, and clean that mess on the floor, man. What the hell's going on in there? Too old for that shit.
But yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, last Friday, 7th of July, it took place at Harlem's Apollo Theater. Eric B. and Rakim reunited. It's the 30th anniversary of Paid in Full album, and the venue was packed with hip-hop OGs, man. Like, I don't know, EPMD were there, Ice-T, Kool Herc, Flavor Flav, Special Ed, Main Source, T. La Rock. Like, it's just crazy when you see the list of people. It must have been such a dope energy in the room just to have all those people.
Yeah, it really looked like almost, you know, like a deity type situation, because I haven't watched the whole thing. I just saw a snippet of... Yeah. When they were about to start Check My Melody or something like that, Check Out My Melody.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed like people were just in awe. And then Rakim, the God Rakim type situation.
Proper.
And he's like, yeah, let me just dust off the beat starts. And he's just like, yeah, let me dust off the... And I was like, man, I wish I was there right now, boy.
Proper.
Serious.
Because, I mean, of course, there's lots of people that we can call the GOAT MC and all that kind of thing. But I think... Rakim, probably the most pivotal of, you know, of the MCs that we've had in the game. They perform like Ain't No Joke, My Melody, I Know You Got Soul, Paid in Full. And Rakim looked pretty damn fine in his military fatigues. I'm quite sure I've got that same outfit as him, actually. That's part of the problem of my life.
We've got a connection.
Yeah, we have.
That's Sarah saying, we've got a connection.
We'll get on, can't you tell?
You know when something happened somewhere, like, 2 years ago. Oh, and it's like, shit, I was only there 2 years ago, man. You're like, yeah, well, you weren't there yesterday when it happened, bro.
Yeah. No, but, a lot of people were just saying that he seemed sort of hungry for the mic, you know, as well. So that's nice to see, too, like, that people haven't, they've still got that burn it. Well, you know, he had to show why he is the greatest in front of all of his peers that night, man. So, you know, he had to bring it. And, apparently, during one point of the show, they shared an embrace, Eric B. and Rakim, because, you know, before shouting out the crowd, because, you know, they kind of split back in 93 because there was some infighting amongst them and everything. Mm. But it's incredible, really, when you look at their catalogue and the contribution that they've made. So that's a show that I'm just gutted that I missed, you know. And also something really cool that I saw happen this last week.
Big up.
To artists, Jeff Enriquez and Eli Lazare, they put up this mural in Queensbridge Projects to Prodigy of Mobb Deep.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
And, of course, just a few weeks ago, he passed away unexpectedly, just age 42. Mm. And, yeah, they put this beautiful mural up, and they also have done one of Nas, like, in the same area in the past. And it just looked dope because it's him in the classic pose showing the tattoos on his forearms, and the mural was painted on the side of this building on 13th and Street and 40th Avenue. But then I saw overnight, somebody like paint bombed the mural. What's that about?
You know, we don't even know what that's about, but the guys who did it could have a beef with somebody or Prodigy. You know, it's annoying, it's really disrespectful, but at the same time, it can happen. There's not really much you can do about it, you know, because they obviously did it when no one was watching, no one was looking.
Yeah, that's
so they're P-U-S-S-Y. Yeah. Not the type that we like, baby.
Yeah, because there's local residents say that they saw the mural at like 2 a.m, so people must have snuck out until that.
That's some pussy shit, man. It's just as bad as frigging all these so-called, what do you call them? Martyrs, these fucking bombers that...
Suicide bombers.
Let's go and bomb these 12-year-old kids at this like teeny boppers party because they, you know, they definitely won't fight us back. It's like that's some pussy shit, man. If you lot are really about that life, go stand up outside, you know, the military base or somewhere where they're ready to go to war. Go war there. Let's see who's really. You know what I mean?
I know, but that's it's just annoying, so childish, man. And this mural was so pretty. We've tweeted it on our Food Bar, at Food Bar Radio, so check it out. And I just thought, though, like, seeing as we didn't make it to the Eric B. and Rakim show, well, hit us up in the studio, hiphop@foodbarradio.com, if you did make it through to their reunion gig on Friday. I thought it was only correct that we played something from them. And this tune, I adore this record, but it's funny, my niece, she was always like, yeah, this sounds like, when she saw Strictly Come Dancing. She's like, yeah, Strictly Come Dancing song. It sounds like Eric B and Rakim, Don't Sweat the Technique. You know, Strictly Come Dancing with the da 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 dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun
dun dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun. Coming up next, we're getting into an investigation. Plus, we've got a Carla and London posse on the way.
Uh-oh.
Don't sweat the technique. Don't sweat the technique. Check the file, let's see who bit the dot, tech the style. I flip the script so they can't get filed. At least not now, it'll take a while. I change the pace to complete the beat. I drop the bass to MCs get weak. For every road they trace is a scar they keep. Cause when I speak, they freak to sweat the technique. I made my debut in 86 with a melody in a president's mix. And now I stay on target and refuse to miss. And I still make hits for beats, parties, clubs, and cars and jeeps. My underground sound vibrates the streets. MCs wanna beef, then I play for keeps. When they sweat the technique. Don't sweat the technique. Know how many bombs have I ripped and wrecked, but researchers never found all the pieces yet. Scientists try to solve the context, philosophers are wondering what's next. Pieces took the lab to observe them, they couldn't absorb them, they didn't deserve them. My ideas are only for the audience ears, my opponents it might take years. Pencils, pens, and scores, letters put together from a key to chords. I'm also a sculpture, born with structure, because of my culture I'm a perfect instructor. Style that'll be full of technology, complete sights and new heights after I get deep. You don't have to speak, just see and peep the technique. But don't sweat the technique.
get deep in the beat, think clean, hold with the scene, never weak or obsolete, they never grow old techniques, become antiques, better than something brand new, cause it's original, in a wild style I have much more value, classical, too intelligent to be radical, masterful, never irrelevant, mathematical, here's some soothing souvenirs for all the years, and for the sort of thoughts and ideas, it's cool when you freak to the beat, but don't sweat the technique. Don't sweat the technique. Don't sweat the technique.
Yo, it's your man Fife Thorpe, formerly of A Tribe Called Quest, and I'm lounging on the My Sticky Sarah Love Show. Y'all know what it is. Love that, honor that, respect that, cherish that. Hip-hop music, you done know. Big up.
Yes, big up. This is all about hip-hop right now. And we're going to pass the mic over to the...
Yeah, anyway, bitch, you can hit my music.
Say what now?
Yeah, that's right, ladies and gentlemen.
I was about to talk about how sexy you and irresistible and luxurious your Afro chest is. And I just love the butterfly collars and the flares.
Because ladies love a man with one chest hair, you know what I'm saying? Fuck Milk Tray. Fuck Valentine's Day. It's all about the man with the one chest hair and a plan. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are down in the FUBAR Radio Cafe. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. And you're with me. That's right. My Sack Haze. Mm. You heard me right, ladies and gentlemen. It's My Sack Haze, man. And I'm a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
Hey, I didn't mean to call you bitch, bitch.
I'm just seeing how far this can go.
But this week, I'm always trying to push it as far. It's the only time I can actually say it and get away with it, you know what I mean? So I've got to say as much as I can. No, joke. Yo, this week's investigation comes courtesy of the one thing that we all love. It's in our lives 24/7. Even when we're asleep, we don't realize it, but it is. When you hear that buzz, or when you wake up and you think, shit, did I get that notification or not?
Uh-oh.
You don't realize, do you? You don't know. But you have to check your phone just to make sure the answer isn't there. Anyway, yeah, you know, this week I realized, man, I was on the... Someone was talking to me about being on the train and how you go on the train and everybody's always looking at their phones. You know, this conversation that keeps coming up ever since the smartphone came about. And what we were talking about was how smart has it really made you?
I love the line from your mum. These smartphones make me stupid.
Yeah. It's like, you know, how smart are these smartphones really made you? And then when I was thinking about it and I was like, shit, it is actually the phone that's smart, but it's making us dumb. I feel like it's making us dumb. Because for one, I don't know your phone number off by heart, but I know how I could type in DJ Sarah Love and just press send. You know what I mean? And I know I'd get hold of you. But if I lost my phone, I wouldn't have anybody's numbers, like all this shit. Well, I was like, rah, man, I've turned stupid. I remember I was doing my best to remember everyone's house number. You know when people used to have a house phone? Do you remember them days?
No, it's funny because there's certain people I still know their house phone number. By heart. Yeah,
so yeah,
like,
same
at
bit.
Least if there's an emergency, it's I remember
crazy,
their
man.
Number.
And then just even all the information that now we can gather using our computers or our phones and whatnot, we kind of don't feel like we have to remember this shit because you can always refer back to it. I started thinking, like, shit, does that mean that kids now in schools, are they using this shit to cheat? Like, can they get away? Like, you know, we had to, like, if you, not how I used to cheat in school, but if you were going to cheat, a friend told me this. You know, you used to have to write down your little bits and bobs, have little code words and whatnot on your arm. Sometimes you have to make it look like it's your handprint just so that the teacher didn't really clock on. Or, you know, I'm just saying, like, it feels like people are just not that smart anymore when it comes to this whole way of communicating and giving information back and forth. So that's why this week the investigation, obviously it's a bit ironic because we are an internet radio show.
And we're asking you to tweet us about it.
Yeah, yeah.
send us a message in the digital pub.
Exactly. But Mice investigates this week. In what way has the internet made us smarter or dumber as human beings? So, you know, for some of us, it might actually made us. I feel like it's made me a bit smarter in the sense that, you know what I mean? I know that I shouldn't open that email that says, can you send
you've won
this amount of money?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, before I used to open them emails nonstop, but then as I started to get to know the internet, I lost about £1,500 off of it. But then I realised it made me smarter, yeah. DJ Sarah Love.
You learned from your
yeah,
losses.
Yeah, I learned from my mistake. So that's what I want to find out. Hit us up, hiphop@foobarradio.com on the email, or you can tweet us at foobarradio and let us know in what way has the internet made us smarter or dumber as human beings. So in terms of being smart, like I said, I think now I've worked out when somebody's lying to me on the internet or not, especially if they call me maestro. That's how I know now.
Yeah,
it's like,
oh,
yeah, you're fucking
signs.
Up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you don't really know me. You know what I mean?
No, but maybe that's also a symptom of just how we're bombarded with information online where people aren't really paying attention because then they're like, oh, I can just Google that again later anyway. So you're not really absorbing what is there. It's just this nonstop flurry of posts everywhere that you are online, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's a bit scary.
I think in the and there's definite, well, there's even like medical studies and stuff now, isn't it, showing that how unhealthy too much exposure to social media is, and like looking at your phone before you go to sleep and all of that stuff, how that is bad for your quality
of
sleep,
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
even they talk about you know, Wi-Fi, like leaving your, you should put it on airplane mode when you go to bed.
Someone told me that too. Or even just switch it off.
Is it Norway or Sweden where it's actually illegal? There's like, yeah, in schools and whatnot, something to do with the Wi-Fi. Like they've made it so it's illegal to, I can't remember which country, somewhere in Scandinavia though. You know what I mean? Someone will find that out for us. But yeah, they've made it illegal to use. So you, it's either in schools or something like that. They don't have Wi-Fi there, or they turn it off. And then they also tell people, yeah, you should turn off your, put it on airplane mode and whatnot, or even turn off the Wi-Fi.
The router and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
the router.
Is that the right word?
Yeah, yeah. Was it router or router? I can't
router.
Even.
It's like router. Technology.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. The thingy that, yeah. Yeah, the thing that connects you to the internet. You're meant to unplug that as well.
This is the road science breakdown.
Yeah, that's the proper ignorant way to just let people know what the fuck you're talking about.
But I don't know if that's necessarily something contributing to our dumbness, but our ignorantness. But but making us smarter is, I guess that's the problem with the internet. It's the same thing with the good thing about the internet, is that you have unlimited access to information, which that's brilliant, but at the same time, that can be a problem too.
Yeah, because now to access that information, you're just going to go to the library, you know, aka the internet, to find. And also,
library.
Another thing, yeah. Do you get what I mean?
That's like that's, old school word.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's like that was a throwback there to say the
that's
word library.
Crazy.
Damn. Yeah. The only time I go to the library is when I'm voting.
When you vote at the library?
Yeah, that's where my polling station is. It's in my local
library.
Oh wow!
Library,
yeah,
I go there.
It's
I mean,
like,
I still
back to my childhood.
It's funny, you know. I still use the library, but not in the not like as regular as I used to.
Oh, that's good.
I use it for printing, and then whilst I'm waiting, I just
you just go.
I browse through a couple books there. Let me yeah. just read the. Yeah, yeah.
While this prints.
What's the foreword say before I even try to get too deep into this? But yeah, I'll rent out a book if it's something that grabs me, you know, by the Kishkis.
By the Kishkis. I don't know if there are there many books on the natural science books and stuff. But no, they say for people doing like calligraphic writing, that's what they're worried, that that's going to become a lost skill.
Yeah.
Because already, like in Asia, because people are typing,
yeah,
they're not practicing
calligraphy.
Yeah, in the same way as before. So it's like already you're seeing for this generation now on the come up, they're not as, you know,
that's
it's
scary.
Awkward holding the pencil and stuff.
Is that so? Would you say like 3D printing is a similar thing then? Like people now, they're not going to be bothered to make shit with their hands. They're just going to like, yeah, let me just put in these, tapping this.
Yeah, measurements, I guess that's here, probably going to become available to everyone in the house, isn't it? 3D printing. But then there's great things with 3D printing that
are
happening
definitely.
Too. So, yeah, I guess it's sort of like,
yeah,
which
there's
way.
A give or take.
I just worry for, because I think there are some vulnerable people in the world where the internet is making, and social media is making people antisocial. So it's like it's making a bigger gulf and people feel more awkward about interacting in the real world.
Mm.
And so people are living in this bubble online where you don't, it's very shady what happens on the internet in terms of what messages are being targeted to you and things. And so I think it's worrying to me where there are some vulnerable people out there who are getting exposed to dangerous stuff on the internet.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's taking them off on some other tangent.
And when you think about things like online gaming as well, you know, like there's family.
Jesus.
There was a family, I think it was in Korea. It's either South Korea.
I think I remember hearing this story.
And they had just had a baby. But they were so entrapped in like this Sims world, this type, you know, this fake world of building this and building that.
Neglected
and
the
child. They neglected the child. But also you have to borrow money to play this game. You know, they got so broke that they were borrowing money to play the game. But yeah, the child died. They neglected their child that badly.
My goodness.
That's crazy. And that's what I'm talking about, the dumb part of the internet.
Yeah.
Obviously, I traipsed on down to the old digital pub. Speaking of the internet, you know what I mean? And I asked a few of my mates. They all answered, well, not all of them. Some of them answered me with some dumb answers, some smart answers, as expected.
What
shout out
saying?
To Gleam Mac, a.k.a. Mr. Flat Earth. It seems like every time he gets involved, someone else who doesn't believe in the Flat Earth has to mention
has
Flat
to bring
Earth.
It up.
Yeah,
wow,
so
notorious.
I'm going to have to call him Mr. Flat Earth. But anyway, he says smarter equals abundance of knowledge at your fingertips. Dumber equaling you don't need to remember that knowledge, as it's always available on the internet. So that's like we're talking about. Because it's so easily available and ready there, you just type into Google now. You know, Jeeves ain't about anymore. Man used to ask Jeeves on the regular.
Does Ask Jeeves still exist?
He just sounded, you Googling it. See, we
don't
even know
that. I
don't
think I ever even used Ask Jeeves in my life.
Yeah, me neither, man.
What is that? Oh, no, it's just Ask now.
Oh
yeah, Jeeves got sacked.
You see why? Someone was probably like, "Oh, don't think you should use the name Jeeves. You know, it makes it seem like it's
need to make it more accessible."
Yeah. But so that he's got a point there with what he's talking about is very true. I feel that's definitely a big problem. The fact that it feels like people don't even think they don't feel like they have to remember everything anymore.
Yeah, you know? No, I was listening to a documentary about that just the other day about how there's the effects that it's going to have on that it's having on our memory capacity and things like that, because yeah, there is no need.
Yeah, so that's a bit sad. Shout to DJ Locke. He says it's ruined people's attention spans and ability to live in the moment in the real world. On the other hand, it has made the world tiny. So in a way, yeah, definitely made the world tiny.
Connected people.
Yeah, it's connected people in a massive way, isn't it? I think like a lot of people, a lot of businesses wouldn't be up and running if it wasn't for the internet. So in the sense of that, it's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know whether that's made people that smart. Yeah.
No, we're struggling to come with the positive answers here.
Yeah,
no, because it's all like the fake news stuff.
Yeah, fake
so
news.
So it's great being more connected, but then you need to, everybody using the internet, you need to be aware and plug your brain into ignition of you know, actually recognizing the sources of where your information are coming from. Because it's incredible the things people just repeat because they see it online as though it's some authority.
Well, that's the thing. So trends, the way trends work is, you know, like somebody says whatever, oh, these are the trainers that everyone's wearing now, even if they aren't. But a certain, there'll be like a couple cool kids that everyone thinks, oh, they're cool wearing the trainers, and then that's how it spreads. But now No one knows if these kids are really cool or not. They just know that, oh shit, there's about 10,000 people tweeting about this thing or whatever, or it's trending because of whoever. So that, you know, that doesn't really help the trend, you know, in my eyes. It makes it seem like anything could trend, and that's where you're getting all this bubblegum music, you know, like loads of stuff that just pops for about 2 minutes and then
done.
Move on to the next one.
Done.
Yeah, no one.
Something even. Over the last few days that I saw, see a vulnerable person that I feel sorry for, Rob Kardashian.
Mm-mm.
Did you see this poor boy? He's obviously
on
a meltdown. And then he, because that woman, I don't even know who this China person is. Now I know her name. You see, it's making me dumb.
Her name
now
is China, actually.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah?
Sorry.
Put the B
I
in.
Know about Xi Jinping and stuff like, you know, the president of China.
Oh.
I know about China. I don't know about Black China, but Yellow Thailand. Yeah, she went Orange Australia.
Starting to sound racist now.
Orange Australia. I'm just thinking
about Thailand.
Purple Cambodia. She fooled it. You know, she did something dirty. Like, I don't know. She
had a kid with him.
Yeah, basically just to milk money out of him, and then sending pictures of him of her getting off with dudes.
Well, you know
to
that,
him, and then he was just started exposing her online.
But you know that her and they used to be mates, innit? She used to be friends with one of his sister or some shit like that, innit?
See, this is where the internet's making us dumber, because I even know I know about these Kardashian people.
Yeah,
foolishness.
Anyway, man.
Anyway.
You're right. That's definitely a thing. Shout out to Paul Judo Mancy. He says kids have it too easy. Just Google something and it's there. See, this is going back to what we're talking about. No research or working things out. They don't even have to trample through the woods to find porn anymore.
Oh,
I didn't know you had to trample through the woods.
What kind of porn are you on? What it was that?
Trample through Soho, but Paul Judo Mancy.
Porn alley in the bottom of Berwick Street.
Yeah.
Paul, let us know what sort of porn you're going into the woods for.
Yeah. But, what is it? Bear porn or something?
Bear porn.
Deer porn, bruv. You know what I mean? Bambi porn.
That's scary though when they say that's really scary, Bambi porn. No, but when they say that the average age of the kids being exposed to hardcore porn now, how young it is, you know, it's 10, 11 and stuff.
Yeah, I'm speaking for a friend here, yeah? But, you know, you go on a site and all it says is, are you 18 or not? Like,
okay.
Yeah, and you just click, yeah, I am. A 2-year-old could click, yeah, I am. Do you know what I mean? That's not really hiding much from the kid.
I know.
So I'm not surprised at all, man. I think that's always down to your service provider and, you know, obviously them being on point as well, because a lot of these sites now, I'm asking, like a friend told me
allegedly,
this.
Yeah. You just overheard this conversation.
Yeah. A lot of these sites are quite easy to access. You know, like, look, this one here. No, I'm joking. Yeah, man.
What,
so
forest porn.
I'm not sure.
Bear and deer porn.
Shout to a Big Toast. He says, given us the entirety of human knowledge at our fingertips, but made us too impatient to fully understand any of it. So we dip into it and skim through, picking out bits that fit our worldview.
Yeah.
We discuss ideas, but the lack of an actual person on the other side makes us a lot more aggressive with our views.
And something with the internet, blatantly, that was part of why everyone was like, we don't need to listen to experts. All you experts talking about what's going to happen with this Brexit, we don't need to listen to you because we've got all the information that we need.
People saying that, yeah.
Yeah, like remember during the referendum, everyone was just like, we don't want to listen. You're getting advice from all these authorities in the economy and all this stuff. And people are like, no, we know better, thanks, because I'm on Facebook.
He says, this polarizes and pushes us towards extremes. We then get numb to the extremes, which pushes us further and further until we end up with flat earth theory.
For real. Sorry, Glee.
That's where it kicked off.
Triggered. Hit up Mice's Facebook page.
Yeah, shout out to DJ's God. DJ's God just hashtag triggered. And then from then on, you know, it says 29 comments that NASA compressed. There's like a whole bunch more. All kind of pictures of flat earth, round earth, twisted earth, Black China. Anyway, shout to Mark Hale. He says, the sun online, enough said.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know if that is enough said, but I get where he was going with that.
We'll just decide each individually ourselves what you mean by that.
Shout out to Mark Late. He says, YouTube experts. Enough said already.
For real. But I think there's lots of good things about the interweb, isn't it? And I think it's only, you know, it's easy for us to be critical of the younger generation of Mice is doing sign language with Lizzie.
They didn't know that.
Studio.
You didn't need to tell them. No, joke.
And yeah, you know, I completely lost my train of thought there. No, but we criticise the kids these days because they haven't lived with encyclopedias. Like, we had to look up information in the Encyclopedia Britannica and all that stuff. But, you know, as Buddha says, change is the only certainty in life. But coming up next on the show, we're going to be hearing from the man, Akala.
Man like Yakala, you hear me?
Yes. So keep it locked here to FUBAR Radio. Hit us up in the studio, hiphop@fubarradio.com. And hit us on Twitter as well. And I'm speaking...
At FUBAR Radio, at by FUBAR the way.
Radio.
Just in case, you know what I'm saying?
No, I'm at DJ Sarah Love.
I'm at Mice Diggy.
Indeed. But, you know, the internet, people are always going on to me about check out the TED Talks.
TED Talks are really good. Some of them are really weird and pretty, you know, out there, but some are really good. There's one that's about mushrooms that I was like, whoa. Nah, I'm not even talking about magic mushrooms.
Okay.
I understand you lot think. No, but seriously, I've forgotten who it's by. I'm going to look for it and share it with you lot. But
it's because mushrooms are like the answer to the world.
Yeah, it's really deep. Mm-hmm. And some of them are magic. And I'm not talking about the hallucinogenic ones either.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, mushrooms are the future. That's how we're going to heal the world. But, yeah, speaking of TED Talks, this track is called TED Talk. It's myself, Sarah Love, Mice Diggy, Akala coming up next.
You never seen a man so calm in your life. Be afraid of this might. And I got the type of mind to grind into that white light. I rock the mic inside the China shop and spit that bullshit. This ain't no bullshit. It's eating past after the stomach full shit. No eating ass, no groceries. I ate at restaurants. They served me well since I'm a baby of the cunt renaissance. You may recall my marvelous reconnaissance. I never forget, like elephants on 4chan. Remember, I'm a poor man. They got a fucking kingdom up in here where the beer flows like mean, seated without a peer. See, I had it up to here. All these doubts in my ear, trying to tell me I don't have the whole world up on my spear. I Van Gogh 'em, pretend I don't know 'em. Too busy showboating to roast 'em. The flames floating, no joke. See, my quotes remain potent. Even in the casket, I'll be one to close it. I'm a poet and I know it. See, I could do some good, but these demons in my ear make me feel misunderstood. Lord knows my intentions are hood, and I rub it in a little bit more than I should. But what would you do if you were great and you knew it? I put up a page, I get in my range. I open up a vein and let a river run through it. You call it music, that's close enough.
I want you till my voice is hoarse. I want you till my voice is hoarse. I want you till my voice is hoarse. Guaranteed to rock the mic. I want you till my voice is hoarse. I want you till my voice is hoarse. I want you till my voice is hoarse. Then take a pause.
I get my dinner on from intercom psalms and scratching itching in a palm. Give a TED talk about shitting on them and spitting on and on. They wonder what arithmetic I'm riffing on. They wonder what this written on. Since when he get his Merv Griffin on? I wonder who I'm pissing off. Bump missives in the whip. Run crystals for the glisten. Dump crystal on the sink up in the kitchen. I run missiles in my whistler. Children for my pisser. When these women call me Mr. J, know I came to slay like a gay man. Shade like a Ray-Ban, you know I'm here to stay. You can find me round the way like a waistband. Writing about my stay on some how to be a man when you hate man. L.A., the home of human spray tan. Heard it from the grapevine in that gray van with many a great band. I give a damn on some friendly, my dear. Whoever made me had some great ideas. My parents built me, yeah, I'm straight IKEA. Had this voice to God since I was 5 feet. Drinking wine, eating divine Peter, kissing that cross. Now they kissing my crosshairs when I rap on beats that sound like a video game boss layer shit. In my pauses, I hear Ric Flair tripping. Yeah, my quips could carry trips like some Big Bear visions. Yeah, these words are so sharp, I give some thin air stitches. Got a hole in space time where I state my business.
I want to till my voice is hoarse. I want to till my voice is hoarse. I want to till my voice is hoarse. Guaranteed to rock the mic. I want to till my voice is hoarse. I want to till my voice is hoarse. I want to till my voice is hoarse. Then take a pause, and you know, of course.
Yo, yo, what up, though? This Fat Cat, aka Ronnie Euro, man, and I'm chilling on the streets of London with Sarah Love and Mike Diggy on Mice Diggy.
On FUBAR Radio.
On FUBAR Radio. Sarah Love, Mice Diggy, FUBAR Radio. Fat Cat, a.k.a. Ronnie Euro. Holla.
I really don't understand why people never hear me correctly when I say Mice Diggy.
Yeah, I just think it's just not a normal name to say.
Yeah.
So they're expecting Mike. You know, or yeah. maybe you just got a really
just call
bad
yourself John
speech impediment.
But shouts out to Tim Joshua and Bon Garçon locked into the show. Remember, you can hit us up on Twitter as well at FUBAR Radio. That last cut is this artist called John Wayne. The track's TED Talk featuring D Stars, and it's produced by Etz, and it's taken from an album, Rap Album 2, which is out now on Authors Recording Company. And there's also production on there from DJ Babu too.
And shout out to Tim Joshua. He says, big up Dre. Hashtag big up Dre, I should say. And he says, Mice, while Jigga brags about money too much on the mic, he gives back a lot too. See Sean Carter Foundation, Sean Bell, etc. Yeah, I saw that the Sean Bell thing. He's, I think he made a documentary about him, innit? Is that correct? And it's on TV. So, yeah, hopefully the money he made from that goes to Sean Bell's family, just saying. And you know, Tim, I'll just let you know that people start foundations and charities to avoid taxes. I didn't know if you know about that at all, Sean, but Tim, sorry. But I'm just putting that out there. I don't know personally, but yeah, what Dre's doing, I think, is bigger than just, you know, his
hip-hop.
Just tax evasion.
You're saying Sean then? That reminded me of Sean. Remember Sean, who used to work at FUBAR? Shouts out to Sean.
Don't make me cry. I'm not crying right now. This is just, I got something in my eye. Call Sean, tell Sean I'm gone.
Oh, Sean, if you're listening, big yourself up. But yes, this is hip hop.
Hey, bring him up in here, please, Lissy, right quick. You know what I'm saying?
Poor Sean.
Put it away, Sarah. Anyway.
Shouts out to the hip hop chip shop in Brixton as well. And all you good people locked into the show. We've got the gig guide coming up for you later on as well. Going to tell you where all the dope parties are at.
Yep.
But this weekend also, I went and met up with the one and only Akala. And this was in town because he's actually putting out a brand new book, which is called Hip and Hop, You Can Do Anything. And this is a children's book. It's like a color picture book for kids. And it's a cool story because it's all about, you know. Well, let Akala explain it to you. So this is me speaking to Akala at the launch of his book, which was attended by lots of excited fans and everything in Piccadilly. And yes, so let's get into it. This is FUBAR.
So we are at Waterstones Piccadilly, which I'm told is the biggest bookstore in in England, maybe in Europe, actually.
Really?
Apparently, one of. It's definitely the biggest in England, apparently. Six floors or seven floors, whatever it is. And doing a launch of my first children's, hip-hop-inspired children's book called Hip and Hop, You Can Do Anything, which is an inspirational tale with, you know, rapping and rhythm in it, about something we've all been through, learning to ride your bike, but a lesson you learn from riding your bike, perseverance. You bust your head, you fall down, you get knocked over, you get back up again, you try again, and eventually pretty much all of us learn to ride our bikes. So it's around that story and kind of attitudes of perseverance. And obviously uses rhythm, rhyme and call and response to engage a younger audience.
And so are you a parent yourself?
I'm not. No, funnily enough, I'm actually not. But I have a younger brother who is 17 years younger than me and a nephew who is almost.
Get it right.
No, because he's so big now. He's 21, 19 and a bit years.
Goodness me, a proper adult. So why make this book then? Like, why is it? What is it that felt? Why did you feel inspired to make a book like this for kids?
Well, I was approached. To be fair, OUP already had some of the world and the ideas. I've got a company, the Hip Hop Shakespeare Company, that does education work in schools, both primary and secondary, universities, etc. I've always seen hip hop as a force quite consciously for pushing education. And I think it's really important for this age group to have a... I just remember being 5 and 6 and even at that age realising all of the kids' books just seemed like rich people in Victorian England.
You think so? Even when you thought about Dr. Seuss or Where the Wild Things Are or Roald Dahl?
Yeah. I'm not saying I was right. I'm just saying that was that's the perception I was left with.
You love the twits.
I loved a bit of Roald Dahl. I'm not going to lie. I love Roald Dahl. I read a sick book called The Runaways. I'm not talking so much about novels, though. I'm talking more about picture stuff with images in. Mm-hmm.
Like Hungry Caterpillar.
Yeah, I don't remember what they were, right? That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm just giving you a hard time for no reason.
Completely like me just saying stuff. Yeah. I don't actually remember why I've got that impression, but I just feel like the image is available for children. And obviously these are animals, so they're not actually people, which is a common, you know, trope. But you can tell that it's a kind of more working class environment in a city, you know, and it uses rhythm and rhyme. And we had a brilliant performance, actually. There was a school here today that did an impromptu, John Dunn School from Peckham. So they just got up and did an impromptu poem before I did mine. Oh. All of them recited it together. And it turns out, again, that school, the teacher, really, really credit to her. She takes them on walks and they read poems while they're walking. Rather than make them sit in the class, trying to get a 7-year-old to sit, it's ridiculous. So she takes them and walks through the park and they recite it. And they knew it all off by heart. They could perform it. They did the actions. And so it was really a testament to the way that movement and education can go together.
No, definitely I agree with you that we need more kind of brown faces in for these kind of things, you know, because I remember growing up in the 80s and, you know, feeling like you were the freak, you were the odd one out all the time, and that era of there's someone black on the telly kind of thing. Like, it doesn't feel as much like that, I think, nowadays for my nieces and nephews, but there's still a lot more that needs to be done, right?
Well, I do remember growing up, there was that skit in the famous skit in the Royal McCoy, I don't remember, when it said, "Mummy, look, there's black people on the telly," and you turned the camera around and it was a black person sat on top of the television. I think that, you know, there's all sorts of challenges with getting the correct range of voices in the media around class, around gender, around race, around disability, all sorts of challenges. And I think things are a lot better than they were when I was a child, miles, miles better. That doesn't mean there's still not challenges to be met. I think there is, but I think I've seen in my lifetime a massive improvement. And would like to see that continue, and hopefully this can be one small contribution. But again, it's not about tokenism, it's about genuinely doing excellent stuff, because excellent stuff exists in all communities, just kind of seeking out and trying to find it.
And creating examples, I think, is an important one. Like, it's good to see people and projects like this up on a pedestal, you know, that's accessible to everyone. And I think it's fair to say over the last few years, you've become the acceptable face of non-white commentary in the mainstream media outlets. Do you feel that?
Well, I don't know particularly about, I mean, acceptable in the sense that years of speaking directly to my community, years of becoming to a point where, you know, there was a level of popularity online that could no longer really be ignored. You know, if you look at how little radio support I had and how little mainstream media support I had for, you know, the first 10 years of my career versus now, I'm not sure so much it's about acceptance, more about, it's partly that, I think, but it's also partly, well, if we ignore this person when they've got tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of views online, 500,000 followers across social media, clearly it just looks like censorship. So I think it's more about a level of popularity that from the people that became ignorable. But yes, I'm conscious that sometimes I'm the go-to guy, which is why 95% of the media requests I get, I turn down and say, talk to X, Y, and Z. So I do, again, think it's about building just a consistent and normal range of voices. And I think that is in the process of happening, but there are just challenges.
Yeah, definitely. But I think you're doing a great job, because I saw you, for example, on This Week with Andrew Neil and other news outlets like that. Do you feel any kind of pressure to make sure that you get all of your words correct? Because you are, you know, the face representing the streets to these people in many respects.
It's difficult because, like, my natural inclination coming from the background I'm from, when someone's patronising or rude, being frank, is to tell them to fuck off. Do you know what I mean? And so when you're in a TV environment, You can't say to someone, shut up, you dickhead. Which is, in your head, the way you would respond if someone was being patronizing to you. So that is a challenge. So sometimes you'll see me sat there like, restraining. But you know, those are all the different strings to our bow, really. You know, today was about this book and about, really, I think for me as a, you know, grown-ass man now, I'm in my 30s, I feel like hip-hop has evolved to a point where there's nothing corny about a credible rapper making a children's book. We all, no one, even the wickedest bad man chatting, whatever you want in the world, on any kind of record, wants for their children that lifestyle. Everyone wants for their children. You could take the wickedest man in jail who's got 10 life sentences and you ask him what he wants for his children, it isn't what he's got. I was lucky enough to grow up seeing that because my uncles and others who were naughty boys were always like, oh no, you're smart. You don't want to, we don't want you to be like us. And so for me, one of the reasons this will be so respected, again, is because it's a, you know, hopefully a credible voice from a certain background that young people can relate to, being like, nah, well, actually, being smart is cool. And that's the mentality and ethic that we need to cultivate.
That's the thing that I've been speaking about just recently on the radio show, how, you know, there was a time in the past in hip-hop where it was cool to be educated, and that was the thing to to boast about, and we sort of stepped away from that. But it is coming back more, I feel, as people are becoming more engaged with the real-life social issues that are happening. But on a hip-hop front then, what are your hip-hop credentials, would you say?
Well, people can look them up for themselves. I mean, it's what it is, isn't it? I've been an independent artist for 12, 13 years. There's a record there, that's for the people to decide. I'll leave it to the jury.
And this is your first published writing? Is it a book, sorry?
So I've self-published three books. One book of poetry and short stories, two called Double Thoughts, one epic illustrated poem called The Ruins of Empires, one graphic novel called Visions. The music for Visions comes out later this month, probably. I do have a couple other book deals, but I can't talk about them yet because they're adult book deals and the press announcements are not there, but mainstream book deals. So what I like about and what I want artists to see, particularly music artists, the difference between the publishing industry and the music industry. In the publishing industry, you could have 20 book deals at the same time if you wanted, with 20 different publishers, theoretically, provided you could deliver. They just sign that work. So it's inherently a fairer model than the music industry, where they're signing you and they want a piece of everything you do forever. So for example, I've just done this deal with OUP. As I said, I've done two other book deals with a really big publisher. That doesn't prevent me from self-publishing as many books as I want. Doesn't prevent me from doing speaking gigs about other stuff. They don't get a percentage of my music money. They are just signing that work. Young rappers, musicians, songwriters, others, there's one thing I want you to see is you can, just from a cold business level, that's a fairer model, and you should use your platform as artists if you want to be writers in other forms, to push the music industry to have a fairer model for artists, but also to say, well, this is a fairer model, I'm going to use that as well.
You have a comic coming out next.
No, that's out. The comic is out. It's called Visions. That you can buy that from my website. It's the music that's not out yet. So I've written a soundtrack to that comic. That's the next music project I'm releasing. But the book Visions, which is a semi-autobiographical, magical, realist journey, that is out already on my website, akalamusic.com.
And sorry, the Visions music, is that a hip-hop project? Like, what type of thing?
The comic is written in verse. It's a 17-minute, four-chapter rap.
Foo Bar Radio presents Sticky Blood.
What were we talking about last time, Tom?
Whether Jeremy Corbyn should be Prime Minister.
Because a lot of shit's happened.
I don't think it's over yet. The positive is that a lot of the extreme things that were in their manifesto...
Have gone. Because she's realised people don't like me. Yeah. It's bollocks. I feel like she's full of shit. I feel like she knows now what to put on the front. She didn't know what to put on the front before. Whereas now she's like, that in the front window.
Yeah. I'm hearing, like, dirty. I'm hearing words like dirty.
Yeah.
Dirty meetings.
Dirty
duppies. Daily.
Every Monday, Sticky Blood from 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Yo, people, this is Akala. I want to send a big shout to Sarah Love, my figgy. Is that the name of the show? Is my figgy?
No, my Stiggy.
Oh, Sarah Love and my Stiggy on what radio? Sorry again.
FUBAR.
Okay, no worries. What's going on, people? This is Akala. I want to send a big shout to Sarah Love and.
Why? My
Stiggy, not Figgy. My Stiggy.
Diggy.
FUBAR Bar Radio.
Perfect.
Cool. Yo, what's going on, people? This is Akala. I want to send a big shout out to Sarah Love and Mice Figgy. Mom, I'm tired.
No, I'm going to call him Mice Figgy now.
Mice Stiggy. Right, I will do it right this time, okay. I promise. Yo, what's going on, people? This is the Carla. I want to send a big shout out to Sarah Love and my Stiggy on Fubar Radio. Big up.
In this dirty old part of the city.
Every second that I walked through the door, I saw the dirty drawers on the floor, cluttered with junk, dust and fungus on the skirt boards. The kitchen's off limits, shut the fridge quick, sewer water puns and stink, blobs of hair blocking up the sink. Leftovers getting cosy and rock solid. They'll serve you bowls of snot porridge if you're not watching. Cocoa pops slurping, no clean knives, forks or spoons. Putrid pot noodles with the burgers burning. Attempted, tried, failed to kill that stale tripe smell that's got the neighbours quite pale. Rotten cakes and lime scale. Yogurts with balled up tissues in them. All the kids are into mischief up until their itty bitty shits you bit them. And by the way, what's the microwave full of? Trays of tired toddlers who need to wipe their eye boogers. Stubborn grease stuck up in the oven and the stove, covered in stubborn and growth, would you like a cup of no? Bloody tampons, thongs and strap-ons. You ran out of light bulbs, now you can't turn the lamp on. Coloured quilts, lumpy milk, humming kinda funny. Still munching frankfurters, fry ups dry and funky. She needs to put them kids in school. They're getting high for free untidily off the ripe and skunky fumes in the living room. Checking my shoe, oi, somebody crack the window open. It stinks of stir-fried shit, like it spits my smokers.
Looks like, smells like.
Down, the butter's mum's on drugs, old moulding cups and mugs, grown bugs on rugs. Dry cider in ashtrays, full up a fag box, overflowing bog water, crack crust. Sisters bitching badly, whipping up salt fish and ackee, slipping on squidgy nappies, linking up with Mr. Hanky. Untrained puppies licking off of dinner plates, interplay and rip apart the bin at any given day. Silky spider webs, gone off bread and eggs, red blotches on your head, smelly cat inside the bed. He smokes rollies found down the side of the sofa. I looked around and caught the flies swimming in my Coca-Cola. Go and put them kids in school. They're getting high for free untidily off the ripe and skunky fumes in the living room. Checking my shoe, hey, somebody crack the window open. It stinks of stir-fried shit. Read like your spliffs, my smokers.
Looks like. Smells like. Matter of fact, go get the hose. Clean your shoes. Clean your hole. Just take a bath. This shit is stinking. Stinking. Oh, yeah. I'm doing a song here. Can you please be quiet? Okay, check this out. If you're not exactly sure what I'm saying,
I'll take this time to break it down.
Ransom Sorry. Bad Bones. The track is called Stir Fried. It's a little bit how I'm feeling today, but stir fried in the brain.
What is up with everybody today? What did
I
you
know.
Lot get up to in this weekend? Why didn't
Something
I get none
in the
of
water.
It? Everyone else is. Did you go?
Wireless weekend.
Oh, is that what it is?
I missed it because I was busy partying with my family. Let me lift your mic.
Oh, yeah, you had the house party.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get this right. Let's get the mics right.
Yes.
Yes, one, two, one, two.
The heat is getting to people as well, isn't it? But that last cut, stir fry,
Ransom Bad Bones. I can't believe how much black folks who live in England are complaining about the heat.
Do you know what I mean?
They don't even make no sense.
No, you know what it is. They've been living in England too long. That's what it is. They're conditioned now. Like, my mum complains about the heat.
No,
she'll go back to Ghana and be like, oh, it's too hot.
No,
I was like, yeah,
stuff.
That's why I get eczema.
Anyway.
Fuck.
Hey, I'm speaking into the triangle. I'm BBC trained, bro. I know how this thing works, bro.
If you don't know already, man, you're in tune to Fubar Radio. This is the hip-hop show, Sarah Love and Mice Diggy, and we are joined by one half of London Posse.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
AKA Rodney P, the
Godfather.
Good to see you, man.
Yeah, always, brother. Always.
So Bionic's on his way, you said, yeah?
Yeah, he's in the taxi as we speak, and that goes. Right. Hectic
so
times,
I think. Still fulfill one of my life dreams that I'd never dreamed about.
That
I'd be in a studio with London Posse.
Okay, yeah.
I never even dreamed that I would see London Posse live. So when I came down to. Wait, sorry. Before we get into that, make sure we've got a special competition to win a signed book from Akala as well. So
yes, big up
hold
Akala.
Tight later
teach
on the
babies,
show. He's just
edify the youngsters.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
And the book is very cute. It's called Hip Run Hop. You can do anything. So we're going to be sharing the competition information for you with that later. But yes, I never even dreamed that I would see London Posse perform live. And so when I heard that you had announced these reunion shows after 20 years?
30 years,
Sarah Love. Yeah, you're talking 20 years, 30 years.
I should have thought because I've probably known you for about 20 years.
You've known
the best part of 20 years. Yeah, I met you in 1999, and I remember the first day that I met Rodney P because I was working in Deal Real on Knoll Street.
Deal Real? No, I'm joking. Go on, carry on.
And then
politics.
Two guys came into the shop, and they just walked straight behind the counter, and I was like, "Excuse me, what are you doing?"
Okay, I was
like,
"We're
looking for Peter," and I was like, "Well, who are you?" And then he was like, I'm Rodney P. And then Skits was like, and I'm Skits.
And then
I was
like,
okay. I got told.
Yeah, cool.
Go ahead. Do whatever you like.
He's over there. yeah. I'm going to go.
Pete's sleeping downstairs.
Yeah, you know.
A bottle of vodka.
Shout out to Pete Real, because Pete Real came and DJ'd at my family's house party weekend, and he wrecked the set. Wow. It was him and Tony Monson DJ'd. Do you know Tony Monson?
Yeah,
so it was like serious.
They might have known their tune.
It was lovely. But it was so lovely to come to your show at Cargo and see you guys on stage.
That was a good night. The energy was high, definitely.
Yeah, I keep missing. I'm always away. I'm fucking annoyed at how every single show.
It's nice to be popular, though, bruv. Don't fight the feeling. When the phone stops ringing, then you'll really be annoyed. So,
for me to see London Posse live, that's what I'm talking about. So I'm missing all the shows. Because how many shows have you done now?
Four.
You done four? Is it only four?
Only four, yeah.
It feels like there's been about 20 different shows around.
Five. We've done Jazz Cafe, Cargo, and then we did the Chip Shop the other day, which was nuts as well. Because you know the Chip Shop is tiny.
Yeah.
And there's no stage in there, so everything's at like...
It feels raw.
You can't. It's not no rehearsal thing in there. You better know how to do the thing. Like, so it was fun for me. You know what I mean?
What's that been like then? The experience of like... Because obviously you've been solo since, you know, that long ago. And I know like some of the tunes you do perform in your solo, but then now you're doing it again with Bionic.
It's a different kind of energy, but it's good. I'm having fun. It's fun. And it's,
does it remind you of what it was like back when you started, or
it's a nostalgia trip. It's a fun ride, and the energy is like amazing. Like especially the show in Jazz Cafe.
Jazz Cafe, yeah.
I've done a lot of shows and I've seen a lot of shows, but I never felt nothing like that personally.
Serious.
That was a level that I attained before.
Yeah. I knew that would be the one to go to, because at that time there weren't other dates announced. So, you know, everyone went there with the energy of like, okay, we're going to see a moment now. Yeah.
But the love was amazing. Like the love feels tangible. You get me? You could grab it in the room. You get me? So yeah, man, it's been good.
How long had you lot been together after you dropped the LP? How long had you been together before the LP had dropped?
London Posse LP.
Yeah.
Why? London Posse been together since 86. Put out the first record 87.
Yeah.
And was done by about 96. So it's about 10 years. It's about 10 years. Me and Skits was together longer than London Posse was around. Yeah. But the influence, the time of it, like
that's
what
the
we
crazy shit,
to the table,
man.
Like, it was a small window of time and we only made one album. Yeah. But god damn, we left a mark. You know what I mean?
So one album, and then you lot were touring that album for the next like 8 years or whatever.
Pretty much, yeah. But wow. I mean, there was that album, there was other tunes. We put out How's Life in London and Here Comes the Rugged One. And so we put out more music, but we never put out another album.
Solid project, yeah.
So why is the reunion happening now?
Now's the time to have the reunion.
Yeah.
It kind of like, honestly, on a pure hustling level, yeah, I've been trying to do it for a minute.
Serious?
Like, you know me. I can see the value of it. And plus, I'm here, innit? I'm here on the ground. So every weekend, are you telling me, when are you going to do the London Posse? Every weekend I hear that for the last however many years. You get me? So it was just a timing thing. Like, now is the time. Like, the conversations was had. And, yeah, now's the time.
Yeah, because there's like you two split up, innit? You two weren't talking or whatever.
We was in completely different spaces. It weren't that we weren't talking. The London Posse team wore out. There were certain issues, of course. There was issues. But it wore out. So we're in two complete... it's not like our circles cross. Like, I don't see Bionic on a day-to-day. I don't see Bionic. And then about a year and a half ago, Bionic moved to Ghana. So Bionic's living out in Ghana.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Well, he's been... He's back here for the time being, obviously. But he's been living out in Ghana, so... Yeah, it was just a timing issue, and right now it just felt good. Like, you know, when the universe is working in your favor.
Yeah.
One of them one.
So we got. I mean, there's got to be a documentary or something, you know, to follow up with all this, because the amount of people that have been talking about London Posse now, I'm like, right, you know, people weren't talking about this.
There's
shit,
a lot
like,
of footage, and you know what? I probably last time I was here, I spoke about we're doing this documentary Under the Influence. Yeah. And it's been a long time, but I don't want people to think that we're not doing it anymore. It's just, it's kind of taken a different shape almost. And also, it kind of starts with the what the scene looked like when we came here as London Posse.
Yeah.
So now, with this all happening, it's kind of come full circle. So that's kind of, the documentary had to kind of be put on hold to be able to film the content. Because there's so much more content that we now have. It's maybe even two documentaries, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, one of them ones. So, but just for all the people who's again asked me about the Under the Influence documentary, it's not gone away. Like, we're doing it. We're just building the content and shaping the story of it. And this whole London Posse reunion stuff has kind of meant that we'd had to wait for this to play out as well, because this is all part of the story.
So. Yeah. So are you? Is there now going to be like a big setup tour? You know, like an official sort of tour. Because this is, like you said, it's only been 5 dates.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
to me, it feels like you guys could probably do at least 10 to 15 around the country, if not Europe.
Yeah, I mean,
as well.
We intend to do more shows, but I really, also, I don't want to just juice it all out.
Like, yeah.
You know, it's like, and plus they have to be good, and we have to be delivering something that it can't just be a nostalgia trip. Well, it can to a degree.
It can, but, I think you know it can. I think, like, for now, like, consider, like, you've got the 30-year thing. You've got, like, look, this album's... It's been 30 years in the making, and on top of that, the influence that this album has had. Yeah. You know,
what I really want to do tour wise is a bigger tour.
Yeah,
but
it feels like it should be a
bigger
tour.
I wouldn't want it to just be a London Posse tour. I feel like I want to do, and again, this is what I've been wanting to do for a while. And I've spoke to a lot of the people I would want to take on the road, but I want to do like a bigger UK hip hop celebration tour, kind of from foundation artists. To the, you know, the middle of the road, man, and up to now. So that's like from London Posse and MC Mellows and you know what I mean, Cookie Crews and them generations, up through your Black Twangs and your Skinny Mans and you know what I mean, right up to whoever's doing it right now. You can clean me up on that. You get me? So
that's what
a guy called Mice Diggy. I heard he's
I would have put you back. Yeah, you've been here longer than that, bruv. Just because you're shiny young boy and you look quite young, don't try to fool the people, bruv. He's been here for a minute. So
you put me in the middle row.
Yeah, you're in the middle.
I just didn't hear that name mentioned. That's all.
But what, you're just interested in the live flex then? Like, I mean, is there any chance of
the DJ
doing
wants
some
an
recording?
LP. The DJ's asking if London Posse going to do a new
album.
It's
one of them ones, isn't it? Like, the odds say, of course we're going to go into the studio. Of course we are. But me and Bionic ain't been in the studio together for a long time, so we're not making no shit. So we need to go into the studio and see how we vibes and how we gel. In terms of writing lyrics, Bionic's got lyrics, I've got lyrics, that's easy. Like, but what does it sound like musically? You get me? Like,
who's on the production?
Who's on the production? What kind of rhythm is it going to be? Like, if you know me, like, I'm not stagnated into like one style. I'm a hip hop reggae dude, but I don't. I'm not stuck in the boom bap and I'm not chasing the grime kids. I'm just, you mean I'm comfortable in my groove.
Yeah,
you get me?
You do what's natural.
I need you to face the front of the mic, Rodney, so I want everyone to hear
everything
you're
saying. Oh,
I'm swearing
around too much, sorry.
That BBC training.
Yeah, left me for a minute. Tune it up.
Yeah, whack anyway.
Once the check stops clearing. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah, but,
Yeah. So you're not ruling it out. Not ruling it out. I'm saying. But yeah, it'll just be a matter of.
And there's lots of interesting stuff coming up as well. Like we just like did a link with we've got some stuff working with Amnesty International and just a few different projects coming up. That are just a bit different. You get me? But there's definitely at some point we're going to sit down in the studio and see what comes out. Definitely.
I think it's obviously going to, like, you know, when there's demand, then you supply. So obviously it's down to people saying, like, yo, we need some new music. We need some new music.
Yeah,
so
you get, there's definitely a demand.
But was that kind of, because at the show, seeing Bionic was sort of, he seemed a bit taken aback by the response and the love. Than there was, because I mean, you've been here the whole time to be, you know, not just as a broadcaster when you were doing the Rodney P. and Skit show on One Extra, but then you doing your own musical projects and being part of the scene, your present kind of thing. So you're aware and you're always getting that feedback, you know, and people wanting to speak about the history in this country. But I mean, for Bionic, he's just been out of the picture.
Still, like, I've been telling him for years, like, there's a lot of love here. Like, there's a lot of love here. But he was on his own wave, he was doing his own thing. So. You know what I mean? But now he's come back and seen it for himself.
That, I mean, because he was meant to have gone back already, right? Has he stayed longer than...
He's
seen it now. He's like,
let me stick around a little bit and see what's going on. He's definitely like... I know he's doing some work. He's done some recording. I'm sure at some point you'll be hearing some new Bionic music.
I mean, if you follow him on, Bionic underscore LP on Instagram, he's posting, he's always posting music.
Yeah, he's got a lot of Instagram pages,
is he?
He's definitely doing things. But I mean, I know that since he's been here, he's been in the studio with Foreign Beggars, he's got a team with Foreign Beggars. So there's music, like, I shouldn't even say nothing, like, that's other, like, there's stuff, he's doing stuff, it's an exciting time, and, like, when you've been away, and so in demand, when you come back, when you put your head up, you know what I mean? Resurface,
crazy, man.
People are going to be excited by that. So,
and hopefully Bionic will make it before we go off air at 6.
You know,
six.
Like, I met the MCs in the room next door, so I know the man.
We do the open mic.
They're eager to get their bars off. So, like,
I mean, the only way we might be able to is like maybe you guys jump in on the open. No, I'm joking.
We can do that.
We won't be doing that. But you know, what I wanted to talk to.
We're going to get into that in a second. So first, seeing as Bionic isn't here, I want to just hold back on some London Posse music so then we can enjoy it when he is in the building, hopefully. Right, so we'll see. But I want to play one of my favourite Rodney P tunes.
You go, girl.
And then after this, you're going to tell us all about this really important event that's happening this Thursday, a benefit gig for the Grenfell Massacre. So looking forward to get all the gossip from you about that because it's just looking kind of crazy.
I like the way you called it a massacre as well.
Yeah,
sure it was, man.
Well, it's a standing tombstone right now. Sure, you know, bloody. It's like it's crazy. But yeah, we're going to get into that in a second. But this, to me, is the certified UK classic that a lot of people sleep on. This track.
Okay, now I'm wondering
Joe
what
Budo
it is.
On production.
Bring on my doggy dog.
Oh, this is my tune.
I've wrecked up enough parties around the world with this record.
See,
this is Dutty Record, but it's Food Bar Radio. This is hip hop. It's Sarah Love, my Stiggy, Rodney P in the studio with us right now. Let's do it. No, you know what, Rodney? You can entirely just do the hip-hop karaoke along to it.
You can do your hip-hop karaoke.
Yeah. Where's the headphones?
We'll see how it works.
Where's the headphones?
Is that a thing, hip-hop karaoke now?
Now it is. Yeah, let's do it. Okay, go on. Rodney P, live in the studio.
Karaoke. Oh. You should have just played the instrumental then, didn't it?
Sorry.
Hear them style that old boy about dang dang. And the way I'm with them, I have the boom style for them. And the boy will test with them life for top of them. Because I'll punch up a pussy like Watson did Ben. Then again, like I'll bend up McKellen. If the boy them are your friend, you better tell them. Kevin, the enemy. And them things you talk, you best defend them. Because I'm wicked, man, we're itching with the venom. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Cameroon. This is how we move, yeah, yeah, me dude. Big up the crews, we can't lose. And it's be a big things for all booze, yeah. Still, man, I got dead for real. Because my mother said, the boy we down here must feel. And the boy that down here said, we got care. Just like every year, we put the second weed in the air. You know why? Yeah, man, Food Bar Karaoke, that's how we do it. This one out of my own style.
Yeah, you mean we boy, yo.
This one out of murder,
you know the thing,
best defend them.
This is
them.
Never one for us, nobody if we can lend them. Prep our teeth them. Can't take the heat, you better stay out the street then.
We free them but we don't
eat underneath them.
Yeah man, this tune is reminding me of good times. These are good times.
I love you like Aretha, I'm eating and eat us.
But let's go.
Now you're hard, that's it. I'm terrible with lyrics.
No,
that's why I'm
a
DJ.
This one
had
the murderer star. That's your bit. I'm gonna put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah,
you should. Telling you, man.
Delivery boy, yo.
Plus for done things.
Your godfather seen me shine but didn't believe that. See me now and scheme my mind and I better free that. You know me punk, no I ain't no idiot. Asking who's the wickedest thing, your mother me that. When you see this style and now we build it. This one not the murderer style, that's how we kill it. Them boy over there so only been wicked for a minute. And you know so that they're pussy holes for real, innit? And you know what, I love doing this tune live, you know.
Yeah, I'm
just thinking, I haven't done it for a while, but yeah, man, I'm gonna dig this one out.
Yes.
Make me go on, innit? Back up your fucker lifestyle, I'm going with it.
Shots.
No gimmicks from your shit, know your shit, you should admit it. Yeah, I'm bringing this one out, trust me. You know we're wicked and we're wild. And then police the one we need upon file. We profile. Pick up all of my bad boyfriend and but don't smile. Them style, I call them murder, I'll style.
Yeah, you're my room boy, yo.
Yes indeed.
We need to be the official hype people for this song.
Wait. Yeah, you're my room boy, yo. You gotta wake up every morning and do that. Like, look at yourself in the mirror after you brush your teeth. Yeah, I'm a room boy.
Invigorate yourself for the day, man.
That's better than a cold shower.
Big tune. That would be nice, actually. A London Posse project produced by Joe Buddha.
There's a possibility.
That would be a nice sound.
That would be crazy.
Because that's what I like about Joe Buddha. Like, I mean, this is the production. Listen to this. He knows how to put a beat together. He's got the feel, and then he draws from lots of different sounds. You know, it's not just like a straight up hip hop.
And the thing is, he knows London Posse as well.
Sorry,
so he Taylor. I'm sure he's
wonderful. I was loving that so much.
You're nominating Joe Buddha for the job, then. Yeah.
That would be sick. That would be sick. I think Joe Buddha would know exactly what to do.
I think he would be excited to do a project like Inspired. You know,
yeah,
so
I was talking to him this afternoon, actually.
See? We didn't know that, by the way.
That's my dude.
I love that.
Anything can happen out here.
What year was that record? I'm trying to think. Maybe 2000? No.
2001?
Yeah, it was around then. It was around then.
Yeah. I thought I was later than that. Yeah. Time is flying.
Because that wasn't
the clock don't stop ticking for that one.
No,
that wasn't on the LP, was it?
It's not on the LP because it came out so far ahead of the LP.
Yeah.
That was just a standalone. So it might be
2000. It was 2001. The LP came out 2002.
Three, innit?
Or three.
One of them did.
Yeah, because
you did one version and then you did another version.
Yeah.
Anyway, man, let's talk about this thing on Thursday because we ain't got much time left.
Oh, and Bionic is in the lift coming up to the studio right now. So we are going to have London.
We're going to have a moment. We are going to have a moment.
We are. And hip hop karaoke might even continue.
If you're lucky, girl.
Well, we'll see what happens. But no, Thursday.
Yes, indeed.
Of the people, for the people. I was so happy when I saw Ty say, you see, and just like that, me and Rodney P have arranged to do a benefit gig for all the victims and everyone affected by... Oh, look at him. You look so lovely walking into the studio.
You know,
Bionic.
I used to stay in that tower. Like, my boy used to live there.
I've got people that are in there like... You sad, know what I mean? Like, it's nuts. It's all so close.
Like, very close.
That's us.
It's a bit hard. Oh shit! In the flesh,
welcome.
Boy. What's your name?
Yeah, speak for you. We've never met properly. How lovely to be here. Thank you so much for coming through. It's
yes,
so man. Good.
Never
to
met before.
You.
Let me touch you, man. Let me.
No, not like that. But yeah.
Yes, bro. Yes, fuck you, boy. Good to meet, man.
Have a seat.
Jesus.
Here.
Someone bring some tissue in here before I make a mess up in this mother lover, boy. You
look. I think it's too late.
Damn, we have got London Posse in the building. Bionic just made it.
Oh.
What's going on?
I think, have we done any radio since? We ain't done. This is the first radio show, isn't it?
Yeah, is it?
This is the first. I thought you did, didn't you do...
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. All that matters is the Spoonbar Radio.
You know what's really funny about that is every week I always investigate something, yeah? Mice investigate. And this week's investigation was to do with the internet. Like, in what way has the internet made you smarter or dumber as a human being? Or made us smarter or dumber? I'll just show how dumb I am, because I thought I read something that said you lot had done an interview, but obviously not. That shows how stupid I am.
No, because it was me. I done one on my own, so maybe that's why you thought.
Connoisseurs of hip-hop, they did an interview.
Anyway, right now it's all about London Posse on Foodbar Radio, the hip-hop show with myself, Sarah Love, and Mice Diggy. And you know what? It's kind of trippy to me to see you speaking, because your voice has been like a soundtrack to my hip-hop life for so long. That it's almost mythical, you know. So to hear it actually coming out of your mouth for real, your voice is iconic, Bionic. I can spit a couple lyrics.
Oh, here we go. Just don't let her bring the Whitney Houston bars out, man.
Sorry, that's about as far as it can go. How has it been for you though to see that? Because I was at the show at Cargo, and it was just beautiful. Not only to see the people who were in the crowd, like some real gems came out of the woodworks for these shows, you know. But the energy and seeing people rapping along all your lyrics, and everyone felt like it was a special moment. How was it for you though? Because you've not been here for so long.
Like? Yeah, I know, it was mind blowing, man. The whole experience is just mind blowing, man. Just mad thing, man. Mad.
But was it overwhelming to step on stage at Jazz Cafe for the first show?
Yeah, man.
Of course it was. We've seen the videos, man. It was just like, what? Everyone rapping. What was that feeling like? Obviously, years later, you put out this album that's like 30 years old now, and then you're seeing all these people that might not even be 30 yet screaming all the words to you. What is that like?
It's just mad. It's mad. Yeah. Serious, man.
Was it
like
inspiring?
I was in a dream. It's like I'm in a dream.
I didn't even feel real.
It's like I'm in a dream, mate.
So where have you been hiding all this time?
Where have you been, Charlie?
Ah! For the last couple of years, I've been living in Ghana still, innit?
Beautiful. Where in Ghana?
Like, in Accra.
In Accra?
Yeah. Like,
are you Ghanaian?
Yeah, yeah. My mum's from Nima, and my dad's from Nima, my mum's Asylum Down. Mm. So I'm between Nima and Asylum Down.
And so why did you decide to leave the UK?
I always wanted to live there from when I was little.
Yeah.
But my dad said we had to live there because...
For, like, healthcare things.
Yeah.
You need money, innit?
It's but it's interesting how few people know how you got your MC name.
Seen. Few people know, yeah?
Yeah, even... just in this last month, people were like, seriously, is that how? So how did you become called... Bionic, yeah,
$6 billion man.
Yeah, because both of the legs are metal, innit? Like, yeah. So, like, when I was a youth, everyone used to call me Bear. 1 million different names I had, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Bionic was one of them. And I used to fight people over it. I used to have fights over all these getting called so much names. Then in the end, I just said, all right, then let me just take this Bionic and do something with it.
Serious.
Let me just do something constructive, because that's the name the most people called me. Yeah, like. Just stop screwing about it and stop being mad and just
the proper bionic man.
But yeah, Transformers, Sarah.
Was it Bionic Man? Didn't he used to make
that's Transformers? I know my shit. I mean, throwing Transformers in there with Bionic Man.
But you see, I was saying to Rodney earlier, because Rodney's been here the whole time over the last 20-30 years, to see the response on the street reaction to London Posse and everything that you've contributed, and you've sort of missed out on a lot of that praise. And I know there's a lot of people who are always like, oh, I always love Bionic, I love his voice, everything, you know, but you've not had a chance to like hear all of this wonderful love that the UK has for you.
He's getting it now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you deserve it, because you've made such an important impact to this country and beyond, you know. Like, I mean, do you feel, how does it feel to have such play such a pivotal role in UK music? Is that how you've seen it?
We just did it, innit? Like, we just did what we were doing, innit? Like, and now it's just that. We just did what we were doing.
Mm.
Like, you just do it. You just do what you're doing, innit? And then people talk about what you do.
It's a lovely thing.
I wanted to ask you about, because when I started rhyming, like, well, a long time ago, but in around 97, 98, and I was like, yeah, I just want to develop my voice. I want to develop using my own voice, my own accent. And my brethren were like, what, you're going to rap with an English accent? I was like, yeah, and they're laughing at me. But then I was like, yeah, but, you know, you guys were doing it.
That's like 10 years after we came out.
Yeah.
That's 10 years after we came out. And sometimes people act like, when we came out, everyone stopped rapping American and started rapping English.
No, man, that was not true. People
like, it was an ongoing battle. Like,
so how was, like, in the, you know what I mean? Because you guys were sounding mad English. Like, obviously, Road, there's a bit of patois in there, but it was sounding English, and it didn't sound forced as well. What was the idea behind that? Like, where... I can't think of there being an inspiration before then for you to go, oh yeah, this is how to do it. Like how we got it. Like for me, it was you guys and MCD, where I was like, look, these guys are rapping in their own voice. I need to find my own voice and rhyme that way. Where were you? How did you?
For me, it was kind of a thing there. When we started out, we was doing a hip hop reggae thing. We was like, we're going to represent the UK in what we do. And that's going to be a hip hop reggae thing. But it started out that I would do a bit of Yankee style rapping.
Yeah.
And mine would do a bit of yard DJing. And then,
oh,
and that was how it would kind of, that was the hip hop reggae, how we'd represent where we come from. But over time, man just learned how to talk it, how we talk it. But that wasn't instant, it didn't start like that. But it came,
it
developed to that.
What
which
was
is what it was supposed to be. Like the idea was always originally to represent where we come from. We just hadn't fully worked out how to do that.
So did
and,
you?
And for me, as a Yankee style MC, it was quite hard. To like,
yeah. I remember hearing wording, I was like, Rodney like sounds
wording
a bit more American.
And like the twang of it, like taking it out.
Rhymes, yeah.
And being comfortable with just how we talk, innit? Yeah.
And then obviously, the thing about it is that people could relate to you more from where you're from. But like, so for you, Bionic, how did you think people would react to you just chatting, you know, slightly cockney?
I couldn't rap. When I came into this game, when Sipo called me and I met Rodney and we went on the first tour and all of that, I couldn't rap. So you could see on the early, I was like just trying to change the reggae style into a kind of rap style. I was just trying to ting, yeah? Mm-hmm. But obviously, it was English from the beginning. My mum was on an English and Yardy ting, because when man chat reggae lyrics before, man chat with an English accent and a Yardy accent, because in a dance, everyone chats with... Enough man chat with Yardi accent, enough man chat with English accent. So in the dancehall scene, people was already dropping English accent. Yeah? So,
the whole mentality comes from the dancehall thing.
When Rodney asked me one time who was my sensei, yeah? He asked me and I was like, Daddy Willy. Yeah?
Seriously.
I mean, obviously, IP and the man there.
Break down who Daddy Willy is, because I don't even know who the fuck Daddy Willy is.
IP. Daddy Willy chat for Young Lion Sound. Yeah? All right, so they used to go against Saxon and all them like different clashes, Cots and all that. And he used to drop Cockney a lot. He used to be like, all these English men trying to drop it like their yardies. And he used to be like, you twally. He used to like, wow. He used to be like all Cockney with the ragga lyrics. That's where I come in and I was like, yeah.
Oh.
So when I started, mum was following them type of people. So that was the flex, innit?
So you would say like the influence of the reggae side of things was a bigger impact on you than hip hop people
course.
At the time.
That's of course.
Because
I came
to
mentality. I was chatting before I came and did this. So. That was what was going on.
Yeah.
I'm even trying to think what year Cockney Translation came out. Maybe that was like 86 or something.
No, that was like before that.
84.
Yeah. So really thinking about that shows like the lineage really. And it makes a lot of sense when you just think of the history of and the connection of Britain and the Caribbean,
The sound system culture and that mentality of being UK blacks and representing where we come from. Mm. Like the family's from the West Indies, but we're from England. That already existed, like Bionic said, it already existed. And we just kind of took that mentality and put it on hip-hop music.
And so earlier I was asking Rodney about what about new London Posse projects? What do you think the likelihood of that is? And I even suggested, I've got it all worked out for you already. I can be the executive producer. It needs to be produced by Joe Buddha. But no, I think it would be fascinating to, and that would be a lovely gift to give the people, something fresh from London Posse.
Yeah, well, it's apart from family, my sister and that, it's the fans that pulled me back out. Yeah. Like on, ever serious. As soon as I went on social media, it was every media day.
Back out, yeah, don't let me trash.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, pressure every day, pressure every day. Oh, you gotta do it. You left us for years, and I'm hit. I'm just
you're thinking what in I Ghana. Left you.
No, yeah. But I'm just thinking it's mad. Like I didn't know like it was like that. Like people were really like, yeah, we want it, we let it. So I was like, rah, and this just carried on. So in the end, I was like, rah, you know what? And now they're saying, yeah, we want to. You're gonna do more tunes. You're gonna do. And I just want to give them what they want, innit?
But you've still been active, right? You've been doing drum and bass stuff.
Everyone thinks that I went onto these scenes to do it.
What do you mean?
Like I met Stevie Iapadi, right? And he brought me on the drum and bass scene. He told me about it, then he brought me to all the raves. He just brung us everywhere, invited man everywhere he was. He
was that off
man.
The back of being Bionic from London Posse?
I tell you what, I dropped these girls to Laser Drum, yeah, in Peckham.
Yeah.
So when we parked up the car, the girls were like going mad, like, wow, Stevie Iapadi. So I was like, wow, I've heard that name, but I don't know this brother. Mm. So the girls were like, jumped out of the car, Stevie. And then Stevie looked in the car and he was like, Bionic. And then the girls was like, who's Bionic? Because they know me as Mad Dog then. So they was like, well, who's Bionic?
Then he
was like, whoa, Bionic, man, yeah, London Pussy, yeah, da, 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 da.
Wow.
So he got the girls in the club. Then he was like, yeah, he's going Temple. So I dropped in Temple. Then he started telling me all about the drum and bass, everything, DJs, MCs. He told me about the whole thing. Before that, Bear and my bedrooms were trying to bring me on the drum and bass team, but I was just thinking, like, it's some mad music, some mad thing. But Stevie
BBC
brought me into it, and he invited me to my first rave, which was Concrete Jungle in Ministry of Sound. And I was just like, jeez, when I see all the girls, like bare black girls, and I was like, what? This is where all the black girls are. I was like, what? Doing all this sexy dancing, like some ragga dancing, but to this mad different type of music. I was like, nah, it was like electronic ragga dance. I was like, nah, I loved it.
Yeah,
and
you're
from
like,
then, I was just
no
like,
more time for hip hop jams. Yeah,
I was, no, I still, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was going to America as well. I was between England and America. In America, mum was on the hip hop and all that, you know.
But that's what's interesting, even coming out of this conversation, because really, this what even just what you guys are saying that epitomizes a UK story. Because you've already mentioned like reggae, ragga, jungle, you know, hip hop. It's the melt. London Posse was the melting pot for a lot of these different sounds combined. You know, the first time that we got to hear this sort of thing.
Listen, for me, my hip-hop brethren weren't really into ragga. My ragga brethren was not into hip-hop. Yeah. So I was like this. And it's just always been like that. My whole career has been like that now. Some people, they like this type of music I make, and some people like this type of music. And I make so much different types of music, and everyone likes different stuff, so no one's ever going to like
it. But my point was that you've been active. You haven't, like, not been making music since we haven't heard from you.
All I did was, you know, like, say, all right, I put myself on a bench, but I stayed in training. So if I do have to get a match, it won't take long to be match fit.
Yeah, you see that.
You get me?
Speaking of match fit, I want to ask you two something. Do you reckon we could get you back for, like, the full show one day?
Yeah, because we wanted to have o'clock. You chill here for the whole show. So we
can
really get
Rodney
into
P,
the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, we'll blend Olympic cards for that.
We want to talk properly, but what we usually do for the last sort of...
Hear what now? I really came here for one
crazy,
specific
exclusive.
Reason.
Exactly,
you know,
so we need to cover all the bases.
That's really what
Thursday, what is happening?
Thursday, Brixton Jam. Of the people, for the people. I've got a toffee in my mouth, don't want nothing.
Okay, do you want me to do it then? Yeah, okay, of the people, yeah, for the people.
It's
Maroon
like
Killer production.
The
word is original, the thing tastes delicious.
Yeah, but it sounds like the dentures popped out, man. Yeah, we know you're not
there
exactly.
Yet, I'm not there yet.
Exactly.
got the salt and pepper, but no dentures yet.
Platinum, baby.
I was so happy because this lineup, this is one of the craziest UK lineups that I've seen since Kung Fu days. I'm not biased or anything like that. But yeah, you've managed to pull together a crazy list of artists.
Yeah, I mean, what it is, you know, Tudor Grenfell Massacre, as we were going to call it, it was actually really easy to do, and it was set up off pure emotion. So watching the whole thing unfold, my heart was hurting. Many people's hearts were hurting. So really, it was off the back of a couple of phone calls. So everyone involved, and I'll give you the lineup. It's
Let me do it for you. So you've got London Posse on that, because it doesn't sound good with the top in your mouth.
Do it now, because we
London Posse, Roots Maneuver, Black Twang, Kalashnikov, Ty, Task Force, Logic, Mighty Mo, and the People's Army. Those are all the live acts. Like, that's a crazy, lineup. Mm-hmm. Then DJs on the set. You've got Daddy Skits, myself, DJ Devastator, Demon Boys, DJ Snuff. Joe Buddha's going to be there, so maybe I'll speak to him about this new London Posse album. And it's going to be hosted by Rodney Pete and Big
Cakes. And that's just room one.
And where
that's
is
just
it?
Room one. Then there's also jam, the room two. This is all happening this Thursday, 13th of July. And all the proceeds. Make sure you go and hit up the website. Get online and find your tickets in advance, because I wouldn't be surprised if this is going to sell out. You know, because this is just sort of crazy. And all the proceeds go to people who have been affected by the Grenfell Tower massacre. So, you know, it's a good cause. And that's why I'm so happy to see all these people that have made, you know, they prepared to put their services forward.
We kept the ticket prices low on purpose. Like, a bill like that for £15 is ridiculously cheap.
Yeah.
But we did it like that on purpose. You buy your ticket in advance, it's £15, £20 on the door, you're going to get an amazing show. Trust me, it's going to be an amazing show. And the vibes and the energy is going to be high. It's a celebration. It's not a doom and gloom political kick around. It's a celebration.
Yes.
And us doing for us. You know what I mean? So, yeah, definitely come get involved. Come try to take peace. And come share the love, no doubt.
Yes, and so we look forward to giving you the rundown of how it all went as well.
Well, you're not
going to
be there, so you know.
Are you not coming?
No, I'm saying to the listeners are going to be there, so they might not even need the
rundown.
But
what are you saying? You're saying you ain't seen no London Posse show?
Yeah, I'm away though. That's the same thing. I was like, right, he didn't holler me. Like, I'm from West London. But then I looked at the date. I was like, oh shit, I'm not even here.
And our full gig guide is going to be online at foobarradio.com, because every week we give you a list of all the best shows that you need to visit. There's also details of a gig called Elements that Mice is going to be performing at. That's got a dope lineup as well. But definitely make sure you come out and put your money in your pocket for the victims of Grenfell Massacre. That's this Thursday, 13th of July, at Brixton Jam. London Posse are going to be full effect. Let's see, maybe even London Posse will be inspired to spit today on the open mic.
I really hope. If not, I really hope we get you guys back for, you know, at least an hour
definitely,
we can
chat. I'll be more than happy to come up and do a full day. We play some London Posse music.
Bionic, can we say that's going to happen?
2 hour, yeah, not for that. Fucking 30. Yeah. You know what I mean? 30
Bionic says yes as well.
Well, for the open mic? Nah, joke. All right, listen. Let's start the beat running. Get the beat running, man.
Shout out. We got the MC crew them inside the studio. I met them earlier in the green room.
I was just messing around. I wanted to get hip hop karaoke with some Money Mad from London Posse.
We got some MCs. Look, this is what you guys have inspired, man. Bionic. Check it out. Rodney P. We got Morel here.
What's going on?
Yes. What's going on, man?
Yeah, yeah.
We got DVG. What you saying, bruv?
All good, brother.
Yeah. All right. Grab the mic.
All good, man.
We got DJ Daredevil on the beat. Turn up the mics a little bit. Can you lot hear the headphones?
Yeah, man.
Can you hear on the headphones?
Yeah.
This is the open mic. This is what we do each and every Monday right here. Food Bar Radio, the hip hop show. Morel with no morals. Tell him something, bruv.
If I try to save the day, I ain't saving face. Another day caught in this rap race, the paper chase. It's make or break. Gotta make something happen. I was standing at the station, took some time to imagine, is this what Lennon did? I see the benefits for my loved ones and my relatives, so I took a trip to the beach to swim with some jellyfish. My conscience weighed down, I was lost in some heavy shit. Even been thinking I should talk to a therapist, but I don't wanna open up that kettle lid, or even worse, let someone in. So I remain closed off, I keep my floats tight like Botox. I grab the mic and show off. F the industry, cause I ain't like these robots who would be selling their soul just for a gold watch. Man be acting cold after one video, thinking he's cold with the same old bars, the same concepts. It's been a long stretch. I thought I'd write an anthem for the hip hop pets, just to show everybody hip hop head dead. It's alive and it's kicking, we keep it funky fresh. Rest in peace to Prodigy, hold tight to Mos Def.
Yo, check 1-2 is DVG. Let's drop it to him like this. Yo,
DVG,
yo,
what you saying,
yo,
bruv?
Yo, never arrogant. I got the flows of a paragon. Society's poison like the Catherine of Aragon. Medieval Europe versus the Saracens. History repeats itself, it's so apparent. Too many sheep, that's why Britain ain't got talent. On the mic, I'm a savage from peace. I'm praying like mantis. Rhymes are pen for these chapters. Fake cats looking at their storyboards, they're actors. Can't follow the script, the deadliest darts I spit, I come equipped, fully loaded like a clip. Like unto an oracle divine, one of the best to touch the mic. Projecting in the MCs like a supernova. Briefly a star, but now it's all over. Flow hot like liquid in a Samova. Scaramouch, fools got no place in the battleground. It's over like the apocalypse. steps. Mind state shaping the metropolis via politicians and priests using pornography. Yeah, distraction of the truth, that's why I stand out and speak in the booth to find inner peace. Man-made machinery leaves mankind deceased. Leave bodies in a pool of blood like fighting tiger sharks in the Red Sea. I don't spit shit like Moses, I spit flows purified like the water through the aqueduct built by the Romans. I seek knowledge through the world like I was a nomad. It's like therapy, connect with the spirit celestially. I cater to those with higher standards, consuming high amounts of data like I had a higher bandwidth.
Jesus.
Beat by DJ Daredevil, rest in peace.
Yo, let's go, man. Yo, they tell me don't get deep, I live to speak to the masses. I have a dream and I stand by my passion. I'm not just your average Joe. I talk about what's real, I talk about how we can grow in society. As I open up my diary, I spread my life to these strangers. Talk about relatable subjects like taking shit from your neighbours. Illmatic on the playlist, I take my hat off to Nas cause that album is amazing. Yeah, I took some time just to study the greats. In my headphones listening to Curtis Blow, these are the breaks. Explored the culture on how hip hop was made. Yeah, I kinda miss that old school boom bap rap. Let's bring it back. Deep in New York is where it started. They used to spit to people who were passing, barbecues in the garden, good vibes and dancing. And Grandmaster Flash taught us the art of sampling. I was age 14, still listening to Marvin through the grapevine. Wanted to perform, but I was hit with stage fright. Nowadays I need a jazzy groove and a bassline. You know the stakes high, so I put my pen to paper, right, express a thought of mine. I'm on the quest of adulthood, what notions will I find? The spark's there, but I just need to ignite. I'm 25 and I don't know the real meaning of life. So many words I need to say, I just keep them inside. That's why most times I put my head down, continue to write. Cause sometimes I'm feeling conscious but lost, like I won't consider my choices, I'll consider the cost.
Yo, apocalyptic scenes chasing like fiends, never satisfied. Bloodthirst appetites trying to reach rapid heights. Boiling point like 212 Fahrenheit, invasion of the Antichrist. Artificial satellites in orbit, morbid soundscapes resonate. Controlling fates, I'm trying to reach heaven's gate through hellfire. It's peace I desire, find me in the clouds with a kaya. Many false messiahs, hired and admired, backstabbers with tap wires. Don't roll with a crew, just myself and a chosen few. Yeah, we're living in a world full of feuds over fuel. Encapsulate the truth via this modern day blues. Darkness looms over life, I'm living in the age of the human sacrifice. Fuck around, they'll surround your walls like Genghis Khan with their Mongol hordes. I flow razor sharp like swords, occupation of land by dark lords. Emerge into prominence, yes, I'm a dark horse. Some thought that I wouldn't succeed until I met the trees of life that set me free. Mind, body and soul, can't escape the beat. I'm in a black hole, I'm lost in this music. It's therapeutic, pick up the mic like fiends with a pipe. I'm chasing the knowledge of life, I'm not about the hype. All I see is grey skies, reflection of our lives. 30 years of silence, unleash the rainstorm on these tyrants. Hybrids like fairy anthropes, claim these but bus glocks, cursed by the god of Odin. Living in a sin, indemnify my soul by releasing these djinns.
Sometimes I feel my life's a story in itself, like maybe I should write a book just for the shelves. There's so much I could tell, I could talk about my mental health. And most days I feel alone, still I sit flicking through Facebook, keeping my head low, trying to avoid conversation. But don't get it twisted, I ain't down for confrontation. Nah, I ain't painting a Bible image, I just wanna master my craft and get creative with my lyrics. Everybody wants to make it, turning rags into riches. Whether you're selling on the corner, working a weekend job or washing dishes, you'll see this is how we living. I fear for the children, ducking this feds, look at what we're building. Education has become a wash. Why would you work a 9 to 5 when there's more money in selling rocks? We risk our freedom for what we got. Imagine if we didn't, there wouldn't be a pot to piss in. This is how we living. Yeah, this is how we living. Say, this is how we living.
Yo, check 1, 2, DVG. Yo, 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 I'm coming sharp and dark like obsidian glass. My bars and flows penetrate meridian pass. It's all energy like Neolithic remedies, spiritual like Stonehenge. My aura when the paper hits the pen, inhale the pen, that's my oncology. Study nature and the universe like cosmology. I cherish life like the Bishnois tribe, Kaluminati. Defeat them serpents like Nag Panchami. Flood in your town like tsunamis. Whirlwind raps invade your land, that's like Cuban land crabs. My flow don't appeal to the masses, find me deep underground like natural gases. Babylon raps, yeah, I'm simulating minds. This is intellectual nourishment, living in this world's like capital punishment. I'm not Big Pun, but I make your dreams shatter. Weak MCs are present but unseen like dark matter, covered in ash like volcanic eruptions with gas. Not in Pompeii but the UK, the god of Indra, leaving us with thunder and rain. I'm healthy to to the game like the ozone with me. Fame stomping grounds like woolly mammoths, shaking ground like earthquake. Hell yeah, I'm hazardous. The resurrection of rap, I'm bringing it back like Saint Lazarus.
Wonderful, open mic right there, boy. And Morel, thank you so much for tweeting all the links. That was another dope
DJ
open mic. Absolutely
ripped it.
Yes, with Daredevil on the beat. Shouts out Rodney and Bionic, a London posse in the studio,
yes,
as well.
Indeed.
Remind the people where it's about being this Thursday.
It's about Thursday in the jam of the people for the people. London Posse, Roots Maneuver, Black Twang, Kalashnikov, Ty, Ty, People's
Task
Army,
yeah.
Plus, we didn't mention the Room 2. We got the Ragged Twins. We got the big man Brian G coming through.
Yeah.
We got Majesty. We got Audio Whore. We got all kind of things going. It's going to be a ridiculously good party.
You got to be there. It's going to be a classic, and we're going
to. Got to say a shout out to the MC friends in the building. Them man, they went hard in the bars, man. Got a big
To ask them. Do you realize these two guys? We might not even have UK hip hop. I don't think there was UK hip hop before.
There's not actually
London
time because we're about to get cut
like?
Off air.
Well, I was just going to ask them, what does it feel like rapping in front of them? But
legendary, man.
Sarah just cut me off.
Yeah, sorry, because we got a live show straight up after this. It's Sticky Blood. Screw Fizzler and Shiesty are going to be in the building as well. So make sure you come through to Brixton Jam this Thursday. Peace out. It's FUBAR.
Your friend that the line of passes money mad again. Come for me.
We are gonna tell you about the bad boy there.
Hey.
If it no repeat to the eat who send it's called land
passes.
We're gonna tell you about the one, two, a fight. Got you them gone.
Money mad.
Boom! They see your living tech, they lick it and they're long gone. Brain get stomped on, but by Long John. Silver could be a mother, could I save cracker? Could be a robot, a hitman, or could be a hacker. Could be a earner.
This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.